about.
What's that noise?
I don't know. Can't make it out.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Now you can't even take your children to school without their telling you you have to be vaccinated. Do you know what they putting in that damn vaccine? They tell you it's this, but it may be that.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You would like to check out AFI and their live performance from this last Tuesday. You heard me.
That's the performance.
It's 8:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
The last Kevin show. It's so sad.
Stop talking. I'm trying desperately to ignore the trickly sweet inanity of your asinine conversation. But now I've got bile in my mouth.
And now,
do you get paid more if they do stuff to your butt?
Our feature presentation.
Wow. Yes, is the answer to that.
Of course.
We ought to. I'll tell you that. I don't know if you do, but you sure should.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
So I'm going to tell you, we're going to take your phone calls, first of all, 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin Bean's Monday, What It Do. I'm going to tell you that concerts on YouTube has got to be the future. It's the greatest thing ever.
Talking about YouTube?
Yeah, yeah. YouTube worldwide last night, streaming live on the internet, maybe the best streaming I've ever seen. I mean, considering when I tuned in, I was one of a million and a half people that were watching it at that time. Picture was great. Professionally shot, sound was great, couldn't have been any better, and didn't have to drive home from the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
best thing ever.
There was that.
The traffic reports, I was listening yesterday to the traffic reports, at around 2 o'clock, they're like, you better be there by 4,
yeah,
things are getting busy.
Here's what's weird, though, because I went, and they had those scare stories all weekend about the traffic, and
right.
It does suck getting into that venue. It's really...
Because that's the largest crowd ever to go there, right?
Right, and it was built in like the 20s,
right,
and it's in a neighborhood that's like one ways in, and it takes forever.
Right.
So we left at 4:30 for a 7 o'clock start. Got there by like 4:35. Never,
seriously?
It's never been quicker. And
wow.
I think it's because a lot of people went early because they were scared.
That must have been it.
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of worked in a way.
You know those moving walkways at the airport that, where you can take two steps and it's like you're flying?
That's
my car must have been on one of those because... I don't know. I've never gotten to that venue faster in my entire life.
Hilarious.
And then we sat there for 2.5 hours, didn't know what to do with ourselves.
That's a long time.
But wouldn't you have rather sat there for 2.5 hours than taken 2.5 hours to get there if you'd gone at 6 o'clock, though, and then been late?
Bean, do you know me?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I read an article over the weekend, by the way. It was on MSN, and this shocked me. And you'll really appreciate this, Kevin, having seen the show, that U2 has done 42 shows now. Maybe last night was number 43. Played in front of 3 million fans on this current tour. Have grossed over $300 million, yet they have not made a penny on this tour.
I wondered if that was true. Because
it costs so much to put that show up?
170 tons of equipment. And, just the traveling with it and the setting it up and the storage of it and everything like that. They're just now getting close to being on the verge of the break-even mark. And now they're going to be essentially shutting it down because they're not going to be playing stadiums in the winter in most places. And, they plan on recouping their money next year when the tour starts back up again.
No kidding.
Oh my
gosh. Because I knew that last night was their second to last show.
Yeah.
And my wife and I actually had a conversation about how much money could they be making net. It looked like it just cost a fortune to put that stuff up.
It cost them $750,000 a day on the road.
All right, so answer this question.
Wow.
They're in Southern California, which is a strong, strong market for them. Why do you play one night? Why don't you play a second and third night where you don't have the setup costs?
Good point.
And you can make money. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it seems like that would be smart. I mean, I don't know that they could sell out the Rose Bowl a second night, but they could sure sell enough tickets to make it worth playing.
I would think because you don't have the setup costs.
Right, exactly.
For the second one. But
what I don't understand is why play stadiums when they could play like they did on the last tour, a much smaller version of the show and play the indoor arenas.
Oh, the stage was too big. Couldn't fit it indoors.
I know, but why? But
no,
why?
There's nothing they could do.
But
it's just too big.
That's just how it is.
Yeah, have you seen
why
the doors
to that stage?
Have you seen the doors to those indoor places? There's no way they could fit that through the door.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the set was incredible. I mean, it looked amazing. But at $750,000 a day, I'm just going out there with a couple of guitars
playing a small venue. That's what I'm doing. I wondered if they made any money. That's weird for them. So they're going to do it again next year, and that's going to be the.
Yeah, they're playing Angel Stadium in June, for instance. That date's already on the bill, so people will have another shot. But I just thought that was amazing economics. But they also love reaching as many people as possible. So it was a hell of a show, though, it seemed like, for what I saw.
Did they show the Black Eyed Peas
on YouTube? I don't know, because it was already – because I didn't tune in until after the Angels game. So.
They opened up, and at one point, Fergie said, oh, this is supposed to be a rock show, isn't it? And they brought out Slash.
Oh, no
kidding.
I heard
about that.
And then they did Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah.
Just a straight cover of Sweet Child of Mine.
With Fergie singing it, right?
With Fergie singing it, yeah.
Yeah.
And she is good, but not, but not that good. I don't know. She sounded good at the beginning of it because you go, oh, this is unique. This is weird. And then at the end of it, she's kind of
not so good.
Not right on.
Oh, okay.
So to speak. But it was a bizarre cover to see Slash come out and do that with that band.
And he just did one song?
Just Sweet Child of Mine, yeah.
That's funny.
Guns N' Roses song. All right, let's get started with your phone calls this morning, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
This is the season, of course, as we're very close to the month of Blovember. It must be tickets to Ski Dazzle. Los Angeles Ski Show and Snowboard Expo is happening at the LA Convention Center October 29th through November the 1st, and that's what you get for being on the air with us this morning.
All right, let's begin with Diego. Hi, Diego.
Hello, what it do? What it do, Lisa May?
What it do?
What's going on?
All right, well, first off, I want to start talking about Smoke Out. It was the greatest show I've ever seen.
Smoke Out was Saturday.
And I saw Pennywise, got in the mosh pit then, that was great. Then I saw Cypress Hill, first I saw Sublime. I actually got teary yet, guys. Sublime was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I was going to ask if you
liked another one of their shows.
If you liked him, yeah.
Yeah, the new lead singer, you know, I was a bit iffy at first, but when he came on, he started singing, you know, Smoke Two Joints and a couple other of my favorites. Bad Fish, though, that one actually got me teary-eyed.
Wow, cool. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, did any of you guys go? I saw the K-Rock bus there.
No, I didn't go, no.
Oh well,
I went to UFC on Saturday. I went to UFC, but I heard it was a good show, so that's fantastic.
It was great.
I'm glad
you
liked Sublime.
Thanks for the call, dude. We had Sublime in our studio on Friday. If you missed it, they did archive it at kevinandme.com if you want to go and check out the live performances of the guys. And I think Diego speaks for a lot of people who were clearly wanted to wait and see how the new lead singer was going to do, because they don't automatically accept, hey, you're Sublime if you're some new guy. But apparently he's winning over fans, at least.
Is there something to the Bradley's estate where he said he didn't want them using the name Sublime? Did I hear that? Correct.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
There is some sort of a tug.
What's happening?
Hey, where's Ralph at?
Ralph's in the other room. Why?
This is Jeff, the Saints fan.
Oh,
good year to be a Saints fan.
6-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What were you behind at halftime?
20. It was 24-3.
24-3. They were behind. They came back and won.
I was a little worried.
Yeah,
no worries.
Came back and won big too.
Oh, huge!
Yeah,
huge.
That was crazy. Just call to rub it in?
Oh, yeah. I meant to call last week and let Ralph know that he got beat by the Raiders.
He did, yeah.
Oh, I bet he heard. I bet he knew about that, actually.
Hell, yeah.
No, Ralph's got TV now at his house, so he's good.
Yeah.
Oh, but it would be better just, you know, he's won the last two bets that we've had, you know.
Well, he has.
The Raiders thing.
He has.
The Raiders thing is the worst. It's the best thing ever, but worst game in the NFL.
But at least they were back in form this weekend. So that's good. They started playing like the Raiders again.
Exactly.
Which is not what you want.
Yeah, this is weird. The Colts are still undefeated. The Saints are still undefeated. And the Broncos are still undefeated. I think this is the furthest in any NFL season in history that you've had three undefeated teams still. So it's going to be very exciting to see what happens next.
Let's go to Sergio. Hi, Sergio.
Hello. Good morning.
What'd it do?
Just wanted to call in I'm sorry, I'm like stuck in traffic. Okay, these people that walk their dogs early in the morning or throughout the day, and they have a black bag in their hand, a Starbucks on the other hand, a dog on the leash, and the dog goes poop, and they pick up the poop, you know, with the black bag.
Right.
They can't stand it. I see it all the time in Beverly Hills.
Right.
I'm doing the 4 line. It just bothers me.
Wait, what bothers you? That they pick up after their dog?
Yeah, I can't stand it. I don't know why. I just cannot stand it.
So the sight of somebody else picking up dog poop makes you kind of sick.
Yes, sir. But I mean, right. Come on. Like, they have a black bag on their hand, and they're drinking Starbucks.
Right, we got that part.
I can't even wipe my own butt sometimes without getting grossed out.
Wow. That is too much information already. Wow.
I don't like picking up other people's dog poop.
Right.
That's kind of gross for some reason, but my own dogs, it doesn't bother me.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
I think, Sergio, I could be wrong. I think it pretty much is the law, though, that you have to do that.
Yep.
Sure, that's the law, but it's also the law to go 65, so whatever.
Yeah, I would just kick it or something.
Yes.
You know, or put dirt on it.
I would kick it.
Kick it. you can dig a hole with your feet and just push it and cover it up.
Exactly.
Well, I don't know. Do you own a dog?
No, sir.
Excellent. All right, good.
Keep it that way.
Yeah, keep it that way. Exactly.
Thank you.
All right, well, we'll leave it there as we ponder Sergio's approach to the world.
That's a bizarre gripe.
It sure is.
It is. I mean, I thought he was going to call and say, it really upsets me that people don't pick up after their dogs. I see it all day long. That's what I thought he was going to say, because then everybody else has to walk through it. But it was the other thing. That's crazy.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Hot Cheetos back in the news in a big way.
That's what I'm talking about.
And as you know, Hot Cheetos are the official snack of the Kevin and Bean Show.
When I eat Hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love Hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
I thought the Hot Cheetos war was over, but apparently it is still raging. It is raging hard.
It really is, and it's that little kid right there, not so happy today.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
I know. We've got some tickets for you to see Foo Fighters Storytellers. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but it's on VH1 or MTV?
I think it's VH1.
VH1. And they get on, and they pretty much kind of tell you the stories behind the songs, and they play them, and it's very cool.
So we've got
some tickets for that coming up. We have Mike Walters from TMZ.com as Harvey's on vacation this weekend.
Okay.
This week, I should say. And we have Sal Masekela in the studio today.
Oh.
And we got to talk about those Northwest pilots that fell asleep. So that's good times.
Okay.
That's what you want to hear is your pilot on a commuter jet fell asleep. Both.
Yep.
Both.
Just totally missed the airport.
So that's excellent. That's what you want. So we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's a little late, and it's 5:51.
Maybe you're a little early. How about that?
Could be.
Bitch, I'm standing here. Bring it. That's what I thought.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Lots of great stuff to give away on the program today, including tickets to the special VH1 performance of Foo Fighters. That's the Storyteller Show. We also have Ralph's going to have next hour tickets for the world premiere of the John Cusack 2012 movie. And coming up in a little while, we'll have details on a very special Halloween party that I think you're going to want to be a part of. So all of that straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday.
It's Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, thanks to the kind people at Daily Variety Newspaper. Paranormal Activity, number one at the box office, $22 million worth of disappointed moviegoers. Unreal.
I don't hear everyone saying that, though.
I don't hear anybody, but
Ralph's
saying it.
People seem to be liking it.
They're all wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most profitable movie in cinema history, Ralph?
Nope.
It's not?
I believe that that honor still goes to Deep Throat.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Saw 6 in its debut, made $14.8 million.
Saw that.
You did?
Yep.
And how did it measure up to the other Saws?
Sure love the shotgun merry-go-round of death. I'll tell you that. That was pretty strong.
Two survive, four die,
That's
right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Pick which two.
How do you pick? That jigsaw, he sure gives you some tough questions, doesn't he?
What do you have to say, Kevin? If you were to...
I would like to play a game.
Wow, that's worse than usual.
That's it. That's all I have.
Which Caribbean island is he from? I don't even remember.
Did you burp that?
To be live or die, you choose.
That's better.
Khloe Kardashian is who that is.
Where the Wild Things Are, number 3 at the box office this weekend. Law Abiding Citizen and Couples Retreat round out the top 5. Then Astro Boy in its debut was 6th. The Stepfather, the Vampire's Assistant, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and Zombieland rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Notice Amelia wasn't in the top 10 this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And a journalist in the Washington Post this weekend did a protracted article on why Hollywood doesn't like strong females.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Has to be that?
That's right.
Can't be anything else?
Anne Hornaday says, Hollywood doesn't like strong females. They don't like movies made like Amelia and Julie and Julia. They want to make movies like Sex and the City, which shows women more interested in shoes than in bettering their lives. Well, here's the thing. Those are the ones that women go to. The ones about shoes and about romance.
I was
going to
point that out. That's who made Sex and the City popular, females.
So but it was take also, it up with your sisters.
It was also yep, a lady. Really popular TV show for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons
let's not
a movie,
ignore that.
A movie doesn't connect. Sometimes
and let's
it's
not ignore
marketing.
That Amelia blows. And no one's interested in a woman who flew in a plane 80 years ago with Richard Gere. And she had big teeth.
She did, yeah.
Yeah. LaToya Jackson.
Yes.
This is maybe the greatest story ever.
Really?
Yeah. LaToya claims that Michael Jackson is speaking to her from beyond the grave.
All right, then. I'm in.
Please let me indulge me for a moment as I read to you the entire quote from the London Mirror tabloid, which she gave this interview. When I go to his house, I say, "Hello, Michael. How are you? If you're here, please, please let me know." And the lights start blinking. I can feel him. Wow. Then I can smell his Tom Ford cologne and feel him brush past me. It's the most wonderful feeling, and the biggest smile comes over my face. I tell him I love him so much and ask him to show me he's here again. The lights blink again. I know he's there, answering me, and knowing he's watching me is such a huge comfort. I never believed that people could speak, hear, and communicate in that sense, but I've witnessed it several times now, and I want to investigate it further. I am certainly open-minded to speaking to a medium. No other family members have experienced this. Just me. Well, LaToya,
so
you're lucky.
Don't believe that stupidity.
Yeah.
Don't waste your money on it.
All right.
LaToya, you're lucky I happen to be a medium, and I'll be happy to take you over to the other side.
Great.
For $4,000 an hour.
She would happily
pay. She'd happily pay.
I like that Michael gives her a sign, and then she wants another one.
Yeah,
but she
does
it, and then he does it again. He will flash those lights as often as she asks.
Wow.
Isn't she spectacular?
She's nuts.
And no one else gets it, just me.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who has the flashing lights experience.
I'm guessing they don't even allow her in his house.
I'm guessing.
That's funny.
Imagine going with her. All right, do it. Talk to him. Well, he can't now because you're here, so he is...
Only for me.
Visiting. You have to go.
I guess if you're LaToya Jackson, you're so far down on the Jackson sibling food chain that you only have any value in the world if Michael's alive. If you're still Michael Jackson's sister, then maybe people care about you. But once he's gone, what's left for her?
Yeah. I feel kind of sad.
You do?
For her. She seems to be the most... I mean, they're all honked up, but she seems to be the most sort of dysfunctionally honked up of all of them. Can't really seem to make a living for herself. Had no successful relationships. Is just sort of the laughingstock of the Jackson family, which is saying something. Remember, she was in that cop show where they all went to Des Moines, Iowa, or something, and became real cops.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah.
She should go back to that.
Hey, Twihards.
Yes.
Heads up.
Yes.
Apparently, there's going to be a Twitard tour coming up for you.
Twitard?
Yeah. Nordstrom and Hot Topic stores are giving away VIP tickets for a special tour that will feature cast members from A New Moon, the Twilight sequel, answering questions and saying hi to their fans across these great United States of ours.
Wow.
15 cities will be featuring this tour. It kicks off here in Los Angeles at the Hollywood and Highland Complex on November the 6th, then goes to Denver, Boston, Chicago, Washington, Houston, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Atlanta, Seattle, Miami, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and New York City.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
VIP passes will be given away starting 8 a.m. next Saturday, Halloween morning, at Nordstrom and Hot Topic stores across America. So make sure you get yours so you can just wet your pants when you see a flimsy guy named Rob Pattinson and his hairdo.
Well,
have you seen the commercials for this New Moon, by the way?
I haven't, no.
This Taylor Lautner, right? Is that
right.
Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be a werewolf, I guess, up against the vampire crew or whatever.
Right.
I'm watching the trailer last night during football, which I'm thinking, bad placement for this trailer.
Throw that money away.
The guy who's supposed to be the werewolf just turns into a wolf. That's what he does.
Just a regular wolf?
Regular wolf.
No, they're huge.
But they're wolves.
Yeah, but they're huge.
No, but he's not a wolf man.
He's not a wolf man. The best part of the werewolf thing is you turn into a werewolf.
They're not
werewolves.
You
don't turn into like look like a husky. Like a husky on steroids. Supposed to be a werewolf. You're a wolf man.
No, he's not a werewolf. That's the whole point. Uh-oh. He's a wolf.
Well, that's horrible.
That's
no one wants to see that. That's so dull.
Well,
it's a horrible idea.
Miss Cleo just
thought it was pretty hot.
Running in.
You thought it's hot because it turns into like a big dog?
Okay, wait. I will just say, I don't want to ruin it for people, but anyone who's read the book knows that's true to the story. He's not really a werewolf.
Well, it's not true to an interesting movie.
It is,
well,
though.
It is to us.
It becomes a big dog.
You're not going to see it anyway.
Yeah, but that's what it is in the story.
Well, that's dumb.
It's not dumb.
Then that's a bad story.
It's Indian lore, man. You don't even know.
You don't even know.
He doesn't even know.
He turns into, but it's like a big wolf. Like a big, not
you
just
don't
like
even
a,
get how big
not
it
like
is,
a little
man.
Bite, like a huge.
Still a wolf.
Giant wolf.
But he's all like sexy with the eyes, and then he turns into a wolf.
Put that up against Benicio del Toro in Wolfman. Kicks ass.
They're not going to fight. It's completely different.
Maybe they're not going to fight.
They should.
Because Benicio del Toro would rip his dog throat out.
Maybe not, though, because this one's got special powers.
Oh, next thing, Rob Patton shows up and Caesar Milan talks him down and puts a muzzle on him.
These guys run in packs. They're like,
shut up. Get out.
That's because they're
get
pussies
out.
And they need to run in packs.
Get out and kill yourself. It's horrible.
Possible.
This movie's slow.
When does that come out?
New Moon?
Yeah.
November
something?
Don't
very
know.
Soon.
November
6th,
I think, maybe?
I think so, yeah.
Woof. 20th, I believe.
20th,
so we have
there
another
you go. 20th.
3 weeks of stories.
Woof. Yeah. It's a big wolf, though.
It is.
But then she said it has powers.
Well, no, it doesn't have powers.
It doesn't? It's just a wolf.
Just a big wolf. Mm. Lame-ass idea.
It's really more of a German Shepherd than it is a wolf.
Really, it's just a big freaking dog. So what? So is Beethoven. Doesn't make it a good movie. Didn't have Charles Grodin. Today's celebrity birthday is Dylan McDermott, who, of course, I guess became a star on The Practice on television.
Sure.
Now, isn't he in charge of the Blue Crew, whatever that show is over there?
Blue.
Dark Blue?
Dark Blue.
Yeah.
He's 48 years old. They got a new show. Have you seen White Collar on USA?
No.
Boy, is that a good show. Check that out this week.
White Collar?
White Collar, it's called, yeah. No. Carrie Elwes, speaking of Saw. He shows up again in this one, doesn't he? Does he make a cameo in Saw 6? I'm asking the wrong guy.
I didn't notice. I know what he looks like, but I didn't notice him there.
You don't know. I didn't notice him there. He wasn't sitting in the theater with you. You would have seen him. You would have been in the movie.
Is there the dude with no legs?
Is there a dude with one foot hopping around?
Yeah, well, one leg, because he sawed his own leg off.
Not that I remember.
Look at Kevin. Has no idea what you're talking about. Just doesn't.
I was out a little late last night. That's all.
Are you sure it was Saw you went to see?
Carrie Elwes is 47 years old. And of course, he was also the Dread Pirate Roberts in Princess Bride.
Yes, he was. He was great.
Great in that. Tom Cavanaugh from Ed, another lovely programs, 41 years old. John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite celebrates his 32nd birthday. And our buddy Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, he is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I'll be honest. I'm no religious authority. I'm
really?
A little sketchy when it comes to my religious history. I really am. But my understanding is that the Anglicans, tell me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, the Anglicans were Church of England people, and they have been at odds for centuries with the Roman Catholics with the Pope out of Rome. Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
And now maybe it sounds like what I'm reading in the news is that they're coming a little bit closer together in that Pope Benedict is now saying that Anglican priests can come over to the Catholic Church. And now people are saying, well, if you change that, then maybe it's time to change whether priests can get married or not. And the whole thing is up in arms. And everything's crazy and everybody is going berserk over it.
I think some of the Anglican priests, it's allowed for them to be married.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Right.
So then if you let them in as Catholics now, what do you do? I mean, do they have to snuff out their wife and kids? I mean, it could get very messy for a priest to be killing people. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that anyone is suggesting killing.
That's the only thing. So they're just going to allow them to stay married then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we have many questions on this this burning topic that affects millions of people around the world. So we asked producer Alex, believe it or not, to line up the Pope for us. And I believe Pope Benedict, His Holiness himself, joins us now from the Vatican on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah,
hello, Pope.
Kevin and Bean, how are you today?
We're good.
That's good.
So did I have that right with my half-ass way to explain the differences between the Anglicans and the Catholic? Was that right, Your Holiness?
Yeah, you see, back in the times of Henry VIII, when the Anglican Church rose from the bastardization of the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church,
right?
That's when the split happened between the Catholics and the Anglicans.
Okay, all right. And we have that right that now you're allowing Anglican priests to come over to your side.
Well, the thing with the Anglican traditionalists is that many of the priests from the Anglican Church are not comfortable with the new policies of welcoming females and openly gay priests in the Anglican Church.
Right.
Yeah.
And so to make them more comfortable, we would invite them to come join the Catholic Church. And that's where they could be over here and be more comfortable with our beliefs and tenets.
I see.
So
the problem is, some of these Anglicans are the married.
Right.
I gotcha.
And your belief, Mr. Pope, is that women and gays...
I'm sorry, you called me Mr. Pope?
Mr. Pope, yes. Your Holiness. You believe that women and gays don't know anything about God, so therefore can't be priests, right?
Of course not, right? Especially women. Oh, with the talking all the time.
I know. I'm right
That's
there with you, sir.
Christ never marries, you know.
Oh, come on.
I just didn't want to hear a woman all day long talking to him.
And
I'd rather go on a cross.
I don't blame him. I feel the same way sometimes. So, okay, so now does this mean you're going to have married priests in your church if you allow the Anglicans to come over?
Is if we allow them in, they're already married. We can't tell them to get unmarried.
Right.
No. Uh-huh.
So we would have to accept some married priests into Catholicism, which we think may loosen the tenets for celibacy and singleness, which have always been a tenet of being the priest in the Catholic Church.
What would you do with the former Catholic priests who left... You know, being a priest to get married.
Good point.
Would you let them back in and be priests again?
You see, these are the kinds of questions that opens your mind up and you start to freak out.
Yeah, it's tough being the Pope.
Many possibilities. Some people are suggesting we make lots of changes already. We update the Catholic Church so that all is acceptable now.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So we would have the married priests.
Okay.
Okay.
We would also allow priests to rape.
What?
Well,
what?
Well, why? Each other, you know?
No.
Look,
there's no place.
Kids for years.
There's no. You didn't just say that.
Sure. This way we keep it in the family. That's lawsuits this way.
Wow.
No,
terrible. But what about no rape?
That's just not an option.
Not an option.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that's sad. But...
We allow drug use now.
Drug use?
Yeah, we should do that because most of the priests are loaded all the time anyway.
What about...
They can do other things if they want to get, smoke a joint or shoot up a little heroin. Look, I know myself. I sometimes can't get through mass unless I got a good load on.
What?
It's so long.
What about the whole your body is a temple and you have to keep it clean and pure for Jesus? What about that?
Yeah, the body's a temple, but sometimes there's things in the basement, you know? also, Sundays, we should let them have big screens for football up on the altar. So people will come and watch the big game as well as be there for the masses.
In church?
Yeah.
Watch football?
Right. I hate missing the big game on Sundays when I got to go, I know Sunday, what's the score? Hey, what's the score? I'm always asking somebody. This way we put up a big screen and people come back to the church.
Well, couldn't you just TiVo that and check it out when you get home from church?
TiVo live sports that blows. You gotta watch it as it happens.
Your Holiness, do you have a favorite team?
Ah, yes, I do. The Saints.
The Saints, all right.
Of course, it'd have to be.
That makes sense.
And also, we let priests give out whatever they want for communion. You know, we used to restrict it just to the wafers and the wine.
Right, that was that's a big part of it.
Yeah, but now, really, let's face it, anything could be body of Christ.
Like what?
Mounds. Or almond joys.
Either one?
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
And most of the priests prefer a nut. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
sometimes
we do.
Feel like a nut.
Unfortunately.
Like two nuts.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
They like nuts.
Very clear.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yes, we do.
Enjoy the nuts.
Loud
we
and
got
clear.
It.
Oh, boy, do they love nuts.
All right.
No.
Can't get enough nuts.
All right. We got to go.
Oh, I love nuts.
So we went to UFC on Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay.
It was
yeah.
in town. That was big fun. Woo! I love going to those fights. And I went with Psycho Mike and Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yep.
Mike, tell us who your ticket getting.
Oh, my God.
Because
that was
fantastic.
Scary. So Dana's office, Dana White, the president of the UFC, put tickets on hold for us when he was in studio here. And very nice of him. But we had to go to this special will call line, and pick him up. So it was kind of a hassle, and we're waiting in line, and all of a sudden someone, I'm not exact, pushes me out of the way. And I've been waiting in this line for a good amount of time. Dave's right behind me, and this guy pushes me out of the way. And I'm not trying to act tough or anything. I was just more shocked.
Yeah, you were ready to throw down.
No, I mean, I'm not that type. I was just shocked. I mean, this someone pushes me out of the way.
That aggressively. So you're not used to that, right?
Right. I turn around just to look who it is, and it's Caro Parisian, badass UFC fighter from Glendale, California, Armenian badass.
And you said, step right up, sir.
Without even, I was like, here you go, Caro, enjoy yourself.
What he actually said was, hey, Caro.
Yeah.
Hey,
you rock.
I'm like, you're a good fighter. Don't kick me.
So then after Caro gets his tickets in 10 seconds, after I've been waiting for 10 minutes with Dave, Josh Homme and Brody come up. Josh from the Queens of Stone Age and his wife from the Distillers. And they walk up and I'm like, wow, this is pretty sweet. And next thing I know, he goes to reach over to shake someone's hand and it's Anthony Kiedis.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking to myself, what an alt-rock picture, you know, opportunity.
What was Anthony saying? Did you overhear it?
Yeah, Josh said, hey, Anthony, how you doing, man? He said, swagga-da-bang-da-bong-dong-wickadoo. It was crazy.
Did you, knowing that you do that insulting impression, did you turn away or hide? Or
no! Thank you for reminding me. No one lives on their phone more than Dave the King of Mexico.
No question.
One is more capable with their sidekick or their handheld than Dave the King of Mexico.
He texts 24/7. He takes pictures 24/7.
Except when you need him to take a picture of something.
Yeah, that does make it hard.
Oh, I don't. I can't write. Never mind. Don't worry. I can't do it. So we never got around to it.
Same thing with
the act that dare not speak its name.
Very true.
Big difference. I was wasted at that time, but this time he didn't even ask. He pushed out.
That's not true. But then I said, get your camera ready.
I said, let's go.
All right. So, Bean, do you have the Psycho Mike interview skill example?
This is pretty much Mike in every interview opportunity. This is his technique. This is his calling card.
Adrena! Adrena! Adrena, real quick. Adrena!
That's how he tries to get the stars to talk to him.
He was doing that Saturday night for no reason. Like, he didn't have a microphone or anything. Rob Dyrdek would watch by and go, Dyrdek! Michael Clark again! And no one would look at him. And we were right next to the aisle where they were walking. I mean, there's no way they couldn't hear it.
Like, I don't demand attention. That's what I've come to notice.
Debbie Moore and Gay Guy! Hey! Nope, nothing. Wilder Valderrama was there.
Valderrama!
What was your point?
Crab Man! Look up here! I don't know. I don't know what he wanted to do. He didn't have a microphone. He didn't have a camera.
You just wanted to get acknowledged by Crab Man for My Name Is Earl?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think it's instinct, you know. You just see a celebrity, you're like, hey, automatically yell at their name. You know?
Now, Dave the King of Mexico, unfortunately, there is some downtime when you go to a UFC fight. And he was talking about the Clippers pretty much. This is their year. This is it, This is it. And when Dave says this is it.
He means this is
this
it.
This is
right?
Their year. And he talks like it is the beginning of every year. And I know they have a great new guy with Blake. I get that. Number one college player, everything. but really, you're going to have to wait for about 5 years of it being your year before you can start mouthing off.
I don't know. Vic the Brick told me that this is it. This is the year.
Did he say this is it?
He did.
Yeah. He did. Mike, what did he say?
He said, Dave, this might be your time. You've been a long-waiting Shogun warrior. Blake Griffin has brought you great karma. And this is your year. If there's any year, this is your year.
Yeah, great. Nice. So Dave talked about that one. Just ad nauseum. He just kept going and going about Clippers. We're like, will you shut up about the Clippers? And then, and by the way, the main fight of the night was Lyoto Machida and Shogun.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not a fight expert. I'm pretty sure Shogun won that fight. And they gave it to Machida.
You and the world,
really?
By the way. This was one, I mean,
yes.
Let's face it, most UFC fights end on a submission or takedown or a tap out or whatever they call it, right? This one was left up to the judges.
Yeah.
And my understanding is that almost everybody watching at home or watching at the arena thought that Shogun won the thing.
Yep.
And I don't know if you automatically get a little extra credit if you're the current champ, as Machida was.
I think you do.
Get the benefit of the doubt in a close fight.
A tie goes to the holder of the
But apparently
title.
It could not have been more evenly matched.
It's very hard to judge because judging fights is incredibly technical and incredibly challenging, and there's a lot that goes into it that most of us in the audience don't understand.
Right.
But to pretty much everybody at home and at the venue,
and the announcers, by the way, too.
Yeah, it seemed as if Shogun really controlled the fight. So,
but here's what I want to here's the last thing we want to say about this, and that is just before the Machida fight was Cain Velasquez. And he's got brown pride tattooed across his chest. And all of a sudden, Dave, the King of Mexico, became very Mexican. Right there.
I got to back Dave on that, too, though. It's just you felt it.
Very yeah, Mexican. Chicano brother, man.
Your La Raza comes out. And he was fighting the whitest man ever.
Yes.
Like, just some big honky that looked like he...
like, most people are not honkies. This guy was a honky.
Oh, no, this guy looked like... if you were to go
he
to
was
Central...
Uncle Cracker.
If you were to go to Central Casting and to pick out a member of the Klan to be in your movie, you would cast this
He'd
guy.
He'd be the Grand Dragon.
And look, it's Los Angeles, so, I mean, the crowd was automatically on Velasquez's side. But then he comes out to mariachi music, and the place just gets electric.
Yeah. And then Dave...
Yes.
And Bean, tell me if this sparks a memory in your mind. Dave starts chanting, "Kill Whitey! Kill Whitey! Kill Whitey!" I was like, what are you doing?
We have far too often been on the receiving end of that chant. That's no fun for anyone.
It's not that. It was, remember when we were in court?
I do.
We were in court. And the judge said, "Will you please read from the transcript of your show?" And it was another time when we were chanting "Kill Whitey." So we're in judge. We're going, "Kill Whitey." It doesn't have the same comedy effect when you're in a court. And that's all I could think of when Dave was starting to chant was, "Oh no,
here we go again.
This is not going to end well." So I joined the chant. I didn't have any choice. You know,
got to do what
so
you
now. You
do.
Want to kill Whitey too?
That's right. You can't beat him. Join him. So. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:37.
Coming up next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, details on this weekend's Halloween party with a very special musical act that I think you're going to be pleased to join us for. That's on the way. Also, Sal Masakella coming up later on. Right now, though, how about tickets to a super secret Foo Fighters performance? These guys have been off the road for a while. This is your first chance to see them in quite some time and hear the stories behind some of their best love songs. Ladies and gentlemen, Foo Fighters tickets for you. It's time for El Orquestra de la Raza.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Okay. All right, that's fine, guys. Thank you. Time for the... Anyway, we could wrap this part up. Guys.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
I forgot. What are we even doing now? I don't even remember.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to have to identify the Foo Fighters songs, but it's not by lyrics. It's not by the melody. It's by the instruments at the beginning of the song, the intro, the very beginning. And these guys are going to do those instruments with their mouths.
With our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So, please, less of that, Dave. Less of that. This isn't supposed to be sexy time, okay? All right, let's start with Evelyn. She is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's the guinea pig for a new week of El Orquestra de la Raza. Hi, Evelyn. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning, Evelyn.
All right, you ready for your song?
Listen up.
Jun, 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 jun,
Feel free to jump in. Feel free to jump in if you know it.
All My Life?
Yes, it is. Nicely done.
Well done. Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty good, by the way.
Sounded like a lot. Evelyn goes in. They did, yeah. Evelyn goes into a drawing to see who gets tickets for the Super Secret Storytellers, right? Let's try Shelby on line three now. Shelby, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your song?
Yes, I'm ready.
There you go. El Orquestra de la Raza. Good luck with that.
What a hot mess. No,
sorry, that was Monkey Wrench.
Well, now that you hear it, it did kind of sound like it, I guess.
How about that? She would have got it.
Somewhere, by the way, someone's alarm clock is going off as they're listening to this. Let's try Jude, line four, please. Hi, Jude. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Y'all set?
Hey, Jude.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Nicely done. Here's the orchestra.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom,
That wasn't bad.
Not bad at all.
It wasn't bad.
All
thank
right,
you, Jude.
You're in the drawing, Jude. Thank you. Let's go to line five now. We've got Diana holding on to play El Orquestra de la Raza for Foo Fighters tickets. Diana, how have you been doing so far listening and playing along on the phone?
So far, I've gotten all of them, but now I know this is just going to be the one that's going to be difficult.
All right, I hope not. Here we go.
Thanks.
Diana, save us from our misery. What do you think?
Nicely done. All right, Dave. All right, take it easy.
What's you know, that's what I mean. Can I hear it one more time?
Nope.
Or no?
Sorry, we can't take it one more time.
Okay, then I'm sorry. I don't have that.
Oh, just take this. That's a Foo Fighters song, though.
I know. It was a fail.
It was this.
That's Learn to Fly, and you know what?
Fly. Yeah, there you go.
Kind of sounded like it, too. Yeah. Nice try. Sorry. Thanks for playing. How about Raul on line six, please? Hi, Raul. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. You ready to see how you do?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot.
All right. Good luck. Here's the orchestra.
Here we go.
How did this
game get started?
Yes. How did this game get started? Because at some point they had to do that for us, and we went, yes, great idea. That sounds good.
I don't know. I just hope we're man enough to end it after today. That's all. Raul, what's the answer there, sir?
It's a Foo Fighters song.
It's a big one.
God. Good Grief.
Fail. I'll stick around.
Stick around.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Dude.
Well, it's you easy after we've already played it for you and given you the answer.
After we play it and say it.
All right. Who says Evelyn and Jude just win and we cut our losses and call it into this game? Who says that?
Oh, man. Are you kidding?
One more.
One more. One more. But then we only have two winners.
That's what I'm saying. So then we've got two who win and then one who does it, which
don't
is
hate.
Kind of sad, but also kind of funny.
Don't hate.
Okay, so let's do it again then. You want to? Are we ending it? Which one do you want to do?
We'll do one more. We'll try Danielle. Danielle is line seven. I caved to peer pressure. Danielle, don't disappoint me because you're squeaking in just under the wire here, okay?
Okay, I'll try.
All right, listen up.
Good luck.
Yes, it is! All right, so now it's up to Lisa May to be the bad guy.
Not it. That wasn't the one. That wasn't the one. You were correct.
Lisa, we've got Jude, Evelyn, and Danielle all in the drawing. Break one of their hearts, send the other two to the evening with the Foo Fighters.
All right, I have Danielle and Jude.
Danielle and Jude. Let me see if I can find Danielle. It's the one that we just talked to. Danielle, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You are going, and hold on for 1 second, and let's go to Jude. Jude, congratulations.
Hey, Jude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Never gets old, Mike. Thanks for playing.
El Orquestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and coming up in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we're going to give you an announcement for something for Saturday night, if you don't have plans yet. And Ralph has something else for you now.
Yeah, this movie looks honked up. This 2012... Where the world comes to an end, pretty much.
Sure. Yep.
It disturbs me on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which, Los Angeles apparently becomes just like a roller coaster.
Correct.
Yeah, that's not cool. If you'd like to go to the world premiere of 2012, starring John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Woody Harrelson, you can go. I've got five pairs of tickets. First five callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers get a pair of tickets to the world premiere on November the 3rd. And for the rest of you, the movie's in theaters on November the 13th. You can check it out.
It's world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:53.
All right. This is Kevin Amin Show. What's going on with Hot Cheetos? The persecution continues. We've got an update from one of our listeners who had a very interesting thing happen to him a few days ago. So stand by for that. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Every Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see how they did this weekend. And Paranormal Activity was number one as we enter the Halloween Horror Season 22 million dollars made it so. Right behind it, naturally, was Saw 6. If it's Halloween, it's got to be Saw, right? $14.8 million in its debut, made it number two. Where the Wild Things Are was third. Law Abiding Citizen, then Couples Retreat. Round out your top five. Then Astro Boy, in its debut, made $7 million. Good enough to make it number six. The Stepfather was seventh. Then The Vampire's Assistant, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and Zombieland, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Charlize Theron is the best.
Yes. Person ever.
That's correct. I don't know why she won't talk to you guys anymore. You've ruined it. She won't come on our show anymore because of something you did. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's that sort of erroneous sound effectage.
She has a good sense of humor.
Not for that kind of stuff, man.
No. Suck it.
Yeah, well.
She is the best. Right. She's just the best. And she's the best.
Right.
And here's another reason why. New York Post has a story today about a charity event that was going on in San Francisco last Thursday night. And she had a prize in the auction to raise money for her South African Children's Foundation, which is a worthy charity.
She's from there.
Yes, she is. Apparently, there was a trip to South Africa to see the World Cup.
Wow.
Nice.
She had gotten that as a donation and was auctioning it off for the charity event in San Francisco. However, there was a walk-on part going on auction as well for Entourage.
Right.
You get to be on Entourage. It was one of the other prizes. She found out that the Entourage package was going for more than her trip to South Africa to see the World Cup.
Wow.
She was not pleased. She got very competitive. So she decided she would throw in a kiss to the lucky winner.
All right.
In order to raise the bids.
Anywhere?
No.
All right. I'll just check in.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the best part. Here's where they, here were the deal for the kiss. 7 seconds.
Wow.
That's a long kiss time. Her.
If you're sure a dude, if you're a woman, 20 seconds.
Okay. Nice. Now we're talking.
Her package ended up being the most successful of the evening. Went for $140,000. And for what it's worth, the winner was a lady.
That's what we're talking about.
She was a very lucky woman. So.
I kissed a girl.
That's why Charlize is the best.
She I might like that.
Yes.
Remember when I tried to raise money to go on a date with her for one of the other charity auctions?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I came up short.
By about $30,000.
Because you guys are cheap, wouldn't help me out.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Katy Perry and Russell Brand, we get it. You're in love.
Have
we get
it. What?
No, they're very much in love. Now Katy is saying Russell was upset because he couldn't find any of his trademark scarves. You know he wears these scarves all the time?
Yeah.
Right.
He can wear these scarves?
Yes.
He's got these scarves on? These scarves?
Yeah.
He couldn't find any in his house. He was upset. He didn't know where they were. Turns out Katy had taken them all. She takes them, she says, because they smell like him. So she wraps herself up in those scarves before she leaves the house.
Please stop talking. Wow.
Follow me.
So apparently they are in love. We get
great
it.
Knockers.
They're in love.
Wow.
You two are in love, and you're in love, and we get it.
That man is Satan.
And you're in love.
That's rough.
Leona Lewis, smoking hot British songstress.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't like her anymore.
Why?
Apparently she was on a TV set. Not a TV set, like we watch a television set. She was on the set of a TV show.
Right.
Okay.
And she was working there with a crew, hardworking British showbiz crew.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Teamsters, hardworking guys.
Sure.
They ordered out for lunch, right? As they're wont to do during their lunch break. They ordered bacon sandwiches. The Brits love their bacon sandwiches.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Leona Lewis is a diehard vegetarian.
Did they force it on her?
No, not at all. Okay. However, she did demand all the delicious bacon sandwiches be removed from the premises.
Oh, that's not cool.
They had to remove all the bacon sandwiches from the soundstage before she would continue. That's not cool.
That's
not cool.
They should have force-fed her some meat. You know what I'm saying? All the big burly teams should have got together and force-fed her some meat. I'm saying.
You're talking about bacon, though.
Yeah, right. You know, a little piece of bacon. Then she would have tasted how delicious it is and said, you know what? Maybe I'll make an exception for bacon because bacon is delicious.
Same.
Even vegetarians should eat bacon, right?
That's
how good it is.
Yeah, that's really good.
Bacon is good. It's really good.
Yeah.
You ever had bacon vodka?
No, that's not good.
That's not good.
Bacon is good for me.
It is. It's good and good for you.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Dylan McDermott from The Practice and from Blues Brothers, his new show.
Dark Blue?
Blues Clues?
Nope.
Blue.
I think it's dark
I'm
blue.
I'm Mr. Blue.
I believe it's dark blue.
Blue Crew.
I don't think that's it.
Blue
Velvet.
Nope.
I think it's dark blue.
Dark blue.
Yes.
Is 48 years old today. Carrie Elwes from the original Saw and also Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Good stuff. 47 years old today. Tom Cavanaugh. Ed on TV is 41. John Heder, who was Napoleon Dynamite, was also in Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell, 32. And Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, who's going to have his a special on Fox with Alex Borstein, also from Family Guy. They're doing a variety show.
Really?
Seth and Alex are doing a variety
that
show.
That never
yes.
works.
It never does, but I'm looking forward to seeing their attempt. Even right. if it fails, I bet it'll be entertaining. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We got a big announcement about a very special party this Saturday night. I wish we could tell you who the special guest is that's going to be coming in here in about 10 minutes or what the event is, but I guess you'll just have to wait around. And I hate that. I hate that when we force you to listen to something on our show. I'm sorry about that. Nothing we can do. All right. It's the Kevin DeBean Show on a Monday. Sal Masakella joins us next hour as well. We got an email from a Kevin DeBean listener named Daniel who says he rarely feels compelled to call or even email a radio station regarding a topic, but something happened to him that was so shocking that he needs some guidance on and wants to share the story with us. So we thought we'd invite him on the program to find out what's going on out there in this crazy world. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks for taking the time to email us the other day. You had something rather surprising happen, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. I was on my way into the Ralph's grocery store that I pass every day on my way into work, and I was just going in to get a few things, and I noticed the school right across the street from the store had just gotten out, and there were a bunch of little kids out in front. You know, it looked like recess had almost gotten out.
Right.
And as I was going in, you know, you get the standard issue homeless lady asking you for money, and of course I told her I didn't have any. And then immediately after that, I feel this little kid poking me on the back, and I turn around and
chicle.
I thought he was going to have me some chiclets, but I said, he said, hey, mister, can you buy me some fire hot Cheetos? And I actually thought the kid was going to ask me to buy him some booze.
Of course, yeah.
He was asking me for fire hot Cheetos.
For flaming hot Cheetos, and why?
That's what I asked him. I looked at him and I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah. I'm not allowed to buy him in the store. I said, are you kidding me? He goes, no, they won't let me buy him. So I actually thought he was messing with me, but he didn't laugh. And I turned around and just walked right back into the store. And, you know, I decided, if this is true, I'm not going to stand for it.
So good for you.
Good man.
Yeah. I went in and I bought a bag of fire hot Cheetos, brought it out to the kid, and the joy on his face is all I needed to see.
Now let's interrupt right there. For folks who don't know why we're so interested in this story, we are huge supporters of the Flaming Hot Cheetos. I mean, ever since we heard the original report about how schools were cracking down on Flaming Hot Cheetos, it's been a couple years ago now, and we fell in love with these little kids on the playground.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
Now, that was a story about a school that was cracking down on bringing the Cheetos into a classroom or onto school property because the kids were getting stuff all over their hands, all over their faces, and all over the walls and things like that. So the school was clamping down. But now you're telling me it's going beyond being banned in schools. Now you're telling me there are stores where kids aren't allowed to buy Flaming Hot Cheetos. And that is going too far, my friend.
It's insanity.
This was across the street from a school?
Yeah, it's like an elementary school. That's adjacent to the store.
So they must have gone over to the store and said, we're having a real problem. Can you not sell Flaming Hot Cheetos to minors?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, the kid was just as confused as me.
Wow.
But aren't they the best food in the world, though?
They're delicious.
Yeah, there's the best, of course. But
no, the funny thing was the look on the home. Money and I would not give kids some.
Did you get a bag for her as well? Or you thought she just would have wanted a drink after that?
Yeah, I thought she would have needed something to wash it down.
Yeah.
So tell me what the little kid said when you walked out with a bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos for her.
He said thank you and started cheering with a bunch of his other little friends.
See?
Oh, that's
and everyone was happy
nice.
Again.
You want little kids to be happy.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. Right. What's going on with stores who are trying to take the sunshine away? I mean, come on.
That is odd. I mean, you know, it's really not much different than don't sell soda, sell anything fattening.
Will they sell regular Cheetos to them? It's just the Flaming Hot Cheetos?
I don't know. Do you know, Daniel?
I have no idea. The kid was pretty specific, though.
Wow.
All right. Well, this will not stand. This is not the kind of America I want to live in. This is what happens, folks, when you elect a freaking Kenyan to run things. I'm telling you, this is.
I'm
telling you, this is a first step. No, I'm not sure about that. This is the first step down a road to bad things when they start banning little kids from being happy. I'll tell you that. If that's where we're at,
we are being ruled by the Taliban. That's what's going on here.
I think the only next logical step is rioting and looting.
I'm with you. I absolutely agree. I mean, that is the preferred method of conflict resolution. Absolutely.
All right, hold on for 1 second. Let me bring in real quick Becky, who's a teacher.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she can shed some light on what's going on here. Hey, Becky.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I'm calling because if you don't allow Cheetos on the school grounds,
right,
they're flaming hot. They can be regular. Mostly because they're so obsessed and addicted to them.
Right.
If they don't share them with their friends, like full-on brawls, like, emerge on the playground, and then they're covered with Cheeto dust, it's all over the place, it's like blood, and they're totally addicted. And so just to solve playground issues and fighting, and I won't be your friend anymore, that's why they can't have the Cheetos at school.
That's fine that they don't have them at school. I can understand your rule, but at what point does the school then talk to Rouse into not selling them?
Yeah, I'm confused about that. I have not heard of that. That is very, very
That's bizarre.
Crazy. Yeah, and maybe it's like there's like a bunch, you know, everything wants to be healthy now, and they don't want the kids buying the big grab of Flaming Hot Cheetos on sale for 60 cents.
I understand all the reasons, but you don't want the government stepping in to try and be the parent.
It's not the government. It's the school.
Well,
it's
school, I guess.
The school does have to be the parent in a lot of neighborhoods where
Becky.
The Flaming Hot Cheetos are prevalent.
When did you
start? Listen to Daniel. Boo.
Boo.
When did you start teaching for the Taliban?
I started teaching for the Taliban in 06-07.
Okay,
don't worry, my regime will be over, as I'm sure I'm getting a thing slipped in March due to the budget cut.
Did you say neighborhoods where hot Cheetos are prevalent? Like, we can't get them anywhere?
Yeah, there are neighborhoods. These Cheetos, I work in Long Beach, and you know, there's the west side, and there's the east side, and we're going to the west side. On the east side, they did not have a Flaming Hot Cheeto problem. You know, they're bringing tofu bars.
It's like crack, you guys.
It is like crack.
What do they put in those?
But at what point do you, start outlawing crack? That's my point.
Well, Ralph is a privately owned company. I guess they have, you know, the right to refuse service to any child or adult.
I got
to
tell
you. At least the government is not regulating hot Cheetos at this point.
When did Ralph start selling food for the Taliban?
That's what I want to know, too.
Yeah,
why do they hate America?
The factories for hot Cheetos are, you know, in Afghanistan, I'm pretty sure.
Ah, okay.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. They put those
poppies in them. Well, listen, you head on into your job if you can hold your head up and do what you do and still consider yourself a good person.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I wear a helium balloon on my head. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Becky. And Daniel, thank you so much, because you know what? If it weren't for brave Americans like you who stand up when wrongs are being foisted onto our children, we would not know about it. We would not be able to take the next step. So thank you very much for the email. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey, Bean, what's the next step?
I don't have any idea.
Okay. And it is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday, a very special Monday, because it's the week of Halloween, ladies and gentlemen. And look who just joined us, Chester Bennington.
Hello.
From Linkin Park.
Hello.
And, of course, from Dead by Sunrise, you're already wearing a mask. What's up, Chester?
You know, I like to cover up my face as much as possible on Monday mornings.
Can't believe you're here so early. That's great.
Yeah, that's exactly why I'm wearing the mask. I'm wearing a Corey Haim mask, if you guys haven't noticed.
That's
a hot costume. That's very good. Yeah. Now, the reason Chester is here is because we have a big announcement that we were teasing for you all weekend long, and that is that your little band, Dead by Sunrise, is doing something really, really fun this Saturday night for us at the world famous K-Rock. Listen
yes.
up. Welcome, boys and ghouls, to the K-Rock Creep Show. This Saturday, Halloween night.
Drag your body to Social Hollywood
for a bloody good time.
Yeah, a little creepy.
A live set from Dead by Sunrise.
Featuring Chester from Linkin Park.
I wanna try again. And DJ Omar Khan.
A costume ball with $1,000 grand prize. There are no tickets.
You want in, you have to win.
Fox Thursdays are all about chemistry with Bones and Fringe. Get ready for volatile surprises, shocking new cases, and of course, chemistry. Bones followed by Fringe. Thursdays only on Fox 11.
You're playing a show.
We're playing a show.
Saturday night.
Yes.
Halloween night. You.
Yes.
Playing a show.
Playing a show. Music.
music on Saturday night for Halloween.
It's crazy. We're going to be out there playing, almost our entire album.
What is Ryan going to dress up as exactly?
I think Ryan's going to dress up as the singer from Owl City.
Okay. All right. That's scary as well.
There will definitely be death by Sunrise if he tries that, by the way. Let's talk about Dead by Sunrise. How many shows have you guys done that have been your actual full concerts at this point?
Well, not many. We just got done playing a show with AFI and Paramore in Baltimore. That was our third full set.
That's it, really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, every other show we've done like a few songs. We did like a 5-song set in acoustically in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
We did, you know, the tour with Linkin Park where we came out and played a few songs during the encore, and those were the shows. And then we literally played in New York. We played a surprise show in Hamburg, and we did a couple shows out here.
Do you know all the songs?
You know, what's funny is the very first show we played, full set in Wasted Space, I actually brought lyrics out on stage with me. And I was like, I think I'm going to forget the songs. And luckily I didn't, even though every song I went back and I flipped over the page.
Just to double check, make sure
it was
there.
Just to make sure I
could. Like a security blanket?
Yeah. You know, we're not big enough to have, you know, the teleprompter like Ozzy. You know,
sure, so right, exactly.
One day I'll be able to have that. But until then, I'm just going to have to wing it.
The voice of our friend Chester Bennington with the Kevin and Bean Show here today. We're talking about Halloween night this Saturday, October 31st at Social in Hollywood. Our own Psycho Mike and DJ Omar Khan are going to be on the ones and twos. There's going to be a costume contest. We're going to have tickets for you all week long that you can win. Real quick, since the album's been out, 10 days or 12 days or something at this point, what kind of reaction are you getting from Linkin Park fans? Are they psyched to have more Chester, or do you get some backlash? They're like, hey, why aren't these Linkin Park songs?
You know, what's interesting is there are people who just hate me all around who just will...
Excellent.
Who they don't care if I'm in Linkin Park or Dead by Sunrise or Bucket of Weenies. They don't care. You know, they hate me.
All right.
Which is totally cool.
You can't do much about that.
Yeah, they're like, hey, Chester is a doucher, 2 stars. he gets 1 star for just being a douche and then 1 star for just sucking.
All right.
And then there are people who actually, you know, may have been had some reservations, but they kind of are getting into the album and they really find that we made a really great record. And but most often we're actually getting a lot of people who more than anybody else who love the record, who love the band, who think it's really cool that, you know, that we pulled this off even in the middle of making Julian K records and making Linkin Park albums. And so overall the majority of the response has been very, very positive.
Do you have to avoid that sometimes, because it gets, I know for us when we go to email, it just, you get so depressed because people hate.
Yeah.
You just go, all right, well, I can't make any money.
You know, what's interesting is I read the New York Times review of the record, which was like, Mr. Bennington, blah, 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 Mr. Bennington, blah, blah. And I was like, what is this Mr. Bennington stuff? I don't understand.
That should be the name of your band.
Yeah, and then he was like, then he ended, it seemed like a pretty nice review. And then at the end, he was like, he's a complete narcissist, totally into himself, don't like the record.
And
I was like,
nice.
Okay, wow. I'm a narcissist. Okay,
how much
cool.
Had you hung out with him before?
I haven't. And
not
then,
at all.
And then the Judy Rosen from Rolling Stone wrote basically like I hate this album. It sucks. And I was like,
you know,
okay.
How to sell a record, Chester. Yeah. I got to be honest.
And I was like, okay, that's cool. And then I think the LA Times guy was the one thing that this record lacks is indulgence. Because usually side projects are full of, you know, self-indulgence, and that's the one thing this album lacks. So on the East Coast, I'm a narcissist. On the West Coast,
I'm not indulgent enough.
I'm not indulgent enough.
Okay.
And somewhere in the middle, Rolling Stone just thinks it sucks. But at the same time, I remember when Hybrid Theory came out, they gave it 2 stars saying it was like the most unimportant album ever made and like it was just a waste of time.
Well, that's why I ask is everybody has different opinions, and if you start listening to them, you go crazy.
Yeah, and so I literally don't. But all the articles written about the album that were by people who listened to the album have all been super, super great reviews
awesome.
Of the record. So.
Well, Dead by Sunrise is the band. Out of Ashes is in stores and available for download right now. We've been playing Crawl Back In a lot here, and I know there's a bunch of other songs in this record that I know we're going to end up playing too, because it's very, very deep. And one of your first chances to see a full show from the band is going to be this Saturday night, Halloween night of Social in Hollywood. Psycho Mike, DJ Omar Khan, and of course the band is going to be there. We've got tickets for you all week long that you can win. Awesome to see you, Chester. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, a huge sports weekend. Kevin, you were at the UFC 104 opening. over the weekend. That happened. The Angels, of course, unfortunately eliminated by the Yankees in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series last night. So it's Yankees, Phillies, and the World Series starting Wednesday. And a ton of football, and still three undefeated teams out there. Your Denver Broncos are undefeated. Your New Orleans Saints are undefeated. And the New England Patriots also undefeated. They had a huge win over Tampa Bay in London. This was the annual game that they play in London. And Bill Belichick, you know, has got arguably one of the greatest football franchises of all time, still never seems particularly pleased with how his team plays.
Always miserable. I love watching him because every time they put the camera on him, he's more miserable than I am any time of the day.
Regardless of what is happening.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you win 35-7. You show up great for America in front of the British team, the British crowd, and he still didn't seem very excited. So hopefully now that they've had a chance to have it sink in, the pressure's off from playing that game, hopefully he's feeling a little happy. So we asked Coach Belichick to join us on the Kevin Amede Show today, and he's on the phone right now. Hi, Coach. Coach Belichick?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Kevin Amede here. We had the interview scheduled. How are you, sir?
Mm-hmm. Good.
Where are you? What are you doing?
We're at practice.
Practice?
Yeah, I got the guys practicing.
You just beat Tampa Bay 35-7.
I know.
Pitiful. And you got a bye week next
disgusting.
Week, so you're off.
Wait a minute. Did you say pitiful?
Disgusting.
What was disgusting about it?
7 points.
He gave up.
Unacceptable.
Gave up the touchdown?
Yeah. Did one of you say we were unbeaten?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't say that at all.
Okay.
I thought you did.
No, I said the Saints and the Broncos are unbeaten, and you've got one of the best teams of all time, yet you never seem to be pleased with it. I don't understand why that is. I mean, you're great.
Because they're disgusting, sloppy, awful.
They look really impressive to us.
Well, that's why you're not a coach. You don't know what to look for.
What I don't understand is
I want to kill them all. I'd like to murder every one of them.
Oh,
what?
Wow,
my
Coach.
Bare hands.
Coach.
Hit harder. Hit harder.
Wait, do you have a whip?
Maybe.
Shouldn't you guys be flying back to America by now? After
we are. I got them practicing on the plane.
What?
We're on a plane right now.
You're on a plane and you're practicing.
Full pads practice.
Should you give your guys a couple of days off after their game yesterday and the fact that they have a bye week this week?
Maybe that's how you hippies work, but not me, okay?
Well, it just
these guys need to be in training all the time, or else we're not going to win this.
Do you ever give them accolades? Do you ever say great job out there today?
When they do a good job.
Which is?
Never.
Okay. Oh.
Wait, didn't you beat the Titans 59-0 or something crazy like that?
Uh-huh.
And how about that game? You must have been pleased with that.
We had 45 points in the first half.
Right.
Which meant we should have had 90 by the end, at least 90.
At least. Wow.
All right, no one ever scores 90. It's never been done.
Huh. Well, if you're happy with that, fine. Yeah, that's why your team's not winning. Do you have a team? Who are you? Who is this?
Coach, did you enjoy visiting Britain? Did you take any time to sightsee maybe while you were over there?
Yeah. Beautiful. Great city.
Okay. Yeah. Anything in particular that caught your fancy?
They got a big clock.
They do have a big clock.
The Big Ben Tower, right? Yeah.
Some kind of river.
Right, the Thames. You saw some of that, yeah.
Yeah. They have a bunch of old stuff.
Right.
Old buildings.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's this lady who has a nice hat.
The Queen?
Yeah.
The Queen at Buckingham Palace, right?
Did you meet her?
Nope.
Didn't meet her.
Not interested.
Did you visit anything? Go to any of the museums or any of the theaters? Anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I went to... No.
Come on. Hold on to that ball.
Are you allowed to whip them?
I don't know if I'm allowed to.
No.
I have to check with the union on that, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you get any joy out of coaching anymore?
I'm giddy.
This is you giddy.
I'm beside myself with happiness.
What would you be like if your team lost?
You don't want to see that.
Yeah.
No, you're
right. You don't want to know.
All right. Well, it doesn't sound like you're having a good time. Doesn't sound like the guys are having a good time.
They're having a great time.
Doesn't sound like it.
That's why we play football. It's fun.
Right.
Get out there in the field and have some fun. That's what I say to them every week.
Uh-huh.
That's what you're about.
I will kill you.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We have the man who personally is responsible for the Soapbox Derby team from our radio station losing a couple of weeks ago. The bad judge, Sal Masekela, is going to be joining us coming up, talking about his attempt to run the 2009 New York Marathon. La-di-da-di-da-da. That's coming up next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
If he cost our team the win,
yes,
right. Why are you inviting him in to promote his BS on your show?
Well, we're going to beat him down.
Because we thought it was funny.
All right. I want to hear Bean beat him down.
We're going to beat him down. That's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. He's got some explaining to do.
He was on the take, obviously. Money changed hands.
Yeah, something was going on because every other judge loved the Soapbox Derby car. All of a sudden, Sal's like, oh, I give it a 2 or whatever it was he voted.
Inexplicable. Our team didn't win that event.
I agree.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies over the weekend, shall we? Thanks to Daily Variety newspaper. Paranormal Activity made $22 million in this Halloween season to be number one at the box office. Then Saw 6 in its debut, showed up at number 2. Where the Wild Things Are was 3rd. Law Abiding Citizen was 4th. Couples Retreat came in at number 5. Then Astro Boy, number 6. I wanted to see Astro Boy this weekend.
That looked good.
Check it out. I used to watch the old reruns of the original show back in the day.
I don't know the original.
It's been around for about 40 years, this cartoon. Stepfather was 7th. Cirque du Freak, the vampire's assistant, was 8th. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and then Zombieland rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
That's Cirque du Freak. Is that good? It looked like it might be wacky and weird.
It's a book series for pre-teens.
Okay, so it's like a kids thing.
It's kind of like that, yeah, for tweens.
Because it looked off-kilter and wacky and funny.
It is, supposed to be a little off-kilter. Remember Goosebumps? Remember the Goosebumps series of books?
Oh, yeah, similar, the book, yeah, yeah.
Similar to like, not for little kids, but, you know, fun and fun for all ages, as they say. And John C. Reilly's in. You got to love him.
Yeah, he's the best.
Talented guy. We were talking about Astro Boy and cartoon characters. About.com, the entertainment news website, has released their list today of the 10 top cartoon characters of all time. Top 10 cartoon characters of all time.
Okay.
I'll give you a 10 to 1. Here we go. Rocky and Bullwinkle, number 10 on the list.
Classic.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Kevin?
Dumb.
Rocky
and Bullwinkle's awesome. Yeah.
They're not dumb.
Okay.
Wile E. Coyote, 9th on the list.
Yes.
If he had ever killed that Roadrunner, he'd be up a lot higher on the list than 9th.
That's true.
But he's a major fail.
He's a failure.
That's right.
Popeye, 8th on the list. Eats a spinach, gets big muscles.
Sure.
Yeah.
Again, if he had a better-looking girlfriend, I think he'd be higher up on the list. Olive oil is a pig. She is a skinny pig. And I would not F her with Popeye's unit. You know what I'm saying? The Grinch, number 7 on the list. Classic, The Grinch.
Sure.
What thumbs down over there, Psycho Mike? The Grinch.
The good one so far is Wile E. Coyote.
Grinch is awesome.
Grinch is weak.
His heart grows 3 sizes that day.
Wait, that's what happens?
That's what happens. Fred Flintstone, number 6 on the list.
Yeah.
Yabba dabba doo. Charlie Brown, 5th on the list.
If we're not working our way up to Eric Cartman, I'm going to punch you right in the head.
Or Stewie.
It's Stewie Griffin.
Bart Simpson, 4th on the list.
All right.
Bart Simpson.
Okay.
Number 3, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I was expecting that to be number 1. Yeah.
No, not number 1.
You know why, Bad?
Michael Mouse, only 3rd on the list.
Michael.
That's his given name.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Homer Simpson, 2nd on the list.
Okay.
Number 1 on the list. By the way, there's no South Park characters on the list.
Aww.
Sorry, Kevin. Sorry
really?
To upset you. Number 1.
Yes.
Any guesses?
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny indeed, Psycho Mike.
Bugs Bunny is so dope.
Bugs freaking Bunny.
I'm number 1.
No,
victory is
you
mine.
Are not number
so
1.
So kiss my behind.
Homer, you are
2.
You are number 2.
In your
that's
face.
That's very different boom. Than ja. 1. You are 2.
Ba, ba, ba.
You are the second one
who's
on the
list.
Who's
your daddy?
You're second on the list, Homer. Not number 1.
He took it hard. Wow.
Imagine the celebration if he was number 1.
Bugs really is the man.
Oh.
Bugs just kicks ass.
The Fonzie of cartoon characters.
Yeah, he is the coolest. He's way cool.
I don't have this category.
Bugs rocks.
All right.
You have to trust us on this, Kevin. You're just going to have to trust us.
Darren Kerman.
Kanye West apparently dodged a bullet, a legal bullet, on Friday. He got cleared of all criminal charges after that scuffle at the airport. Remember at LAX, he got into a scuffle with the paparazzo and they threw his camera to the floor and everything, that whole deal? Well, it finally got settled in court on Friday, and all charges will be dismissed as long as Kanye and his road manager perform 50 hours of community service.
And his road manager, that's funny.
Well, the road manager was the one who actually knocked the camera to the ground. So they both have to do 50 hours, and they both have attended anger management classes, and apparently they will be cleared of all charges as long as they fulfill this obligation. So, 50 hours, that's not bad. That's pretty light.
It seems light. That's a lot of time.
But community service sentences are usually twice, 3 times that sometimes.
Speaking of somebody who served 3 times that,
that's what I'm saying.
A long time.
And you did a lot less. You didn't assault a guy and knock his camera, his camera.
Not anywhere near as fun.
No, you didn't.
Nope.
New video games have been announced regarding some of your favorite reality TV shows.
video games based on reality TV.
Discovery Channel is spinning off two of its most popular series to make video games. Man vs. Wild will be in stores by the end of next year, and Deadliest Catch will also be available for PlayStation 3, Wii, Nintendo DS, and Xbox 360.
That's odd.
What about Shark Week?
Yeah, that turned that into a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Man vs. Wild, where you just drink your own pee and eat you know, some goat eyeballs or whatever.
It
sound
be
very
like
fun.
A, like a role-playing game where you're out in the wilderness and you
and
encounter
you
all this different
out
crap. Yeah, and you have to
try and
wrestle a bear and then drink pee and sleep in a cave.
I'm still not interested. Sleep in a cave. That's exciting video gaming right there. Lay down in this cave.
Here's what
for
I know.
20 points.
Two people tried to summarize the game and both of them said drinking your own pee, so I'm out.
I'm saying there will be some pee drinking.
I'm saying I don't want that.
All right.
If you don't mind.
LaToya Jackson's being visited by her dead brother, Michael.
Great.
In an interview with the London Mirror tabloid, LaToya claims Michael has been speaking to her from beyond the grave.
That's great.
When I go to his house, I say, "Hello, Michael. How are you? If you're here, please, please let me know." And the lights start blinking. I can feel him. I can smell his Tom Ford cologne. I felt him brush past me. I hear the squeals of little boys being chased and held down. What is this?
Did she say that?
No, I'm sorry. That was a typo.
It's people really with a dirty typo mind that think like that.
Yeah. I tell him how much I love him and ask him to show me he's here again. Then the lights blink again. That sounds like you need an electrician over at Graceland.
That wiring.
Wherever the hell he lives.
I'm just imagining like Jermaine around the corner by the light switch with Tom Ford, sprinting Tom Ford and flicking on the lights.
Him and Randy just laughing their asses off.
By the way, he's been dead like 3 months. What's LaToya still going to his house for? Is she still looking for more stuff she can get out of there?
I guess.
Like stealing stuff in a shopping bag or something every time
she
visits?
She's disposing of evidence.
Ah,
I'm not sure.
She's
trying to find some propofol.
She said she wants to investigate it further. She could never believe that people could speak, hear, and communicate beyond the dead before, but now she's witnessed it personally several times, and she wants to speak to a medium. Or a large. Extra large.
Hey,
whatever it takes. Oh, come on!
File it.
That was good.
File.
Thank you, Lisa.
No,
file
it.
Thank you, Lisa.
He's defending you, Ralph.
File!
And for all you twitards out there,
yes,
you're going to want to know about the New Moon Tour that's happening with all of the stars of New Moon appearing across 15 cities in America.
Wow.
Even the dog?
Even the crazy dog that protects Brenda, or whatever she is.
Oh, God. Bella.
Bella. Nordstrom and Hot Topic, this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, they're going to start giving away VIP passes for this special tour. You have to get these tickets only at Nordstrom and Hot Topic. And the cast members will be meeting with their fans at 15 cities across the United States. It starts on November 6th here in Los Angeles, then goes to Denver, Boston, Chicago, Washington, Houston, Minneapolis, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Atlanta, Seattle, Miami, Phoenix, Salt Lake City, and New York City. You can, as I mentioned, 8 a.m. next Saturday, Halloween morning, go to Nordstrom or Hot Topic and get your tickets for the big tour.
Ralph, can you imagine?
There's a big dog in this one.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Taylor Lautner turns into a dog.
I think it's a wolf.
That is just paralyzing.
It's a wolf.
Wolf. Ralph, can you imagine any place worse in the world to be than at a Twilight fan greeting?
At Hot Topic.
At Hot Topic. Imagine. Can you imagine the levels of hell that that would feel like?
Man.
It's not for you.
I gotta get me some of that. What are they? That was that stuff they dropped in Nam. Napalm. Right? That's what I need. I need some of that. A jury in the world would convict me, man, if I took out that crowd and their wolf.
So much Twilight hate. It hurts me.
Lisa loves it.
You do, Lisa. You're a twitard.
I love that book. I love the books. They're
great.
Can
you imagine having?
And I'm hopeful for this movie. The first one was not so good.
Imagine having to go around the country with Rob Pattinson with to these things and going. He's like, I'm miserable.
Yeah,
I hate being famous.
This sucks.
Yeah. Put some more mud in my hair.
And Kristen Stewart's the exact same way, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And hates ugly
hates
hippie,
it
too.
Miserable.
Right. Yeah. Where's my patchouli? She's barking for patchouli. He's asking for more mud. Taylor Lautner's over in the corner doing push-ups. I'm a wolf. God damn them to hell. Today's celebrity birthday is Dylan McDermott from The Practice and from Blue Balls.
Dark Blue.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's about cops, right?
Yes
undercover cops.
He is deep undercover.
48 years old.
You're very deep.
Cary Elwes from Princess Bride and from the original Saw. He is 47 years old. Tom Cavanaugh from Ed turns 41. John Heder who was Napoleon Dynamite, of course, also co-starred with Will Ferrell in Blades of Glory. He is 32. And Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, writer, creator, actor, director, genius, 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's a big deal to be at the X Games.
Downhill is good. Here is the jump.
Clips it very short. We're outside of the Staples Center. A beautiful night for Moto X. If you are not standing up at home, I will get off the couch. Pastrana just earned his first goal.
Bob Burnquist.
That was the dark side to take. Tony Hawk, X Games.
We have lost our minds in the booth right now.
Shaun White, as focused as he's ever been.
And the man fell from the sky over 50 feet. Oh, my God. His shoes.
$25 down.
This is Sal Masekela, host of the ESPN X Games.
Also, live from the red carpet during the Academy Awards each year, you can see him as the host of the Daily 10 weeknights at 7:30 on E! And he's a former friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Sal Masekela back to the program. A guy we used to like very much.
We did.
Wow. Talking to.
Remember the good old days where we used to have him on all the time and talk X Games and everything was cool.
That was fun
and
before he stabbed us in the back.
Yeah,
This is an emotional ambush that I was not ready for.
That's correct. Psycho Mike, tell us what the problem with Sal is.
Oh, he's a Hollywood sellout now. Okay. That's what the problem is. Okay.
What happened?
The Red Bull Soapbox Derby about a month ago.
Yeah.
He's one of the judges.
Right.
Okay? And we had our team there, the Summer of Death, myself, Dave the King of Mexico, Omar, and Black Listener Anel. We all are recently dead characters. I was Patrick Swayze. Omar was
how recently
DJ
dead, by the way, was Patrick Swayze? Like 2 days.
Yes.
All right.
It DJ was AM as well.
It was a little tight.
Dave was Billy Mays and Anel was Michael Jackson. We had our car, which was a big coffin on wheels.
Mm-hmm.
All the judges are into it. Eric Estrada, what's Kimberly Caldwell?
Yep.
I believe was one of the other judges, and they're all and you know they're clearly offended by it, but they were all laughing at it. Sal comes up, he's like, "Hey guys, we know Sal. This is pretty funny." He's smiling, he's giving us the thumbs up. Comes time for us to do our run. We go down the hill. We do it perfectly. We get a pretty good time. We go up to look at the judges who are factoring in style and the
entertainment
appearance and the entertainment factor. All the judges give us 8, 7, 8, 7. Gets to Sal Masekela.
6. And guess what?
The lowest.
I still stand by my 6.
The lowest score of all the judges.
6? Now, if you would look at my actual sheet.
Don't care about that.
There were 3 different categories.
All right.
And initially, I gave them a full 10.
Okay.
For presentation, originality, the whole nine. I was very excited about the K-Rock car.
Right.
As a friend of the show, I was under more scrutiny than the other judges.
Okay.
Because they knew about our pre-existing relationship.
So you dropped it 4 points?
Let me finish. Right. Their opening dance number...
was awesome.
Was garbage.
Wait a second.
It was
that's
absolute
not how they told it.
Garbage. They had an inappropriate Michael Jackson who did not do one maneuver related to anything Michael Jackson did, and it was short and
he's
sweet.
Dead. What do you want from him?
Their opening their opening deal was like 30 seconds of BS. There was nothing to it.
Listen to me. Dave was Billy Mays. He started pitching stuff to the crowd. Omar was spinning records as DJ AM. I did Don't Want Puts Baby in the Quarter moves. I did the quintessential Patrick Swayze moves.
It was bad.
By the way, while Mike was talking there for the last 30 seconds, Sal was just shaking his head. No.
It was really bad.
All right, so they deserved maybe a 5.
And I also had to judge against the other cars who had went. We'd seen some spectacular shows and also some really fast speeds, etc. So
you're standing by that?
I am standing by my 6. It had nothing to do with no love for the show. My love for the show is strong.
All right, I'm fine with it then. All's good.
But
sounds to me like he's the only one in here who knows what he's talking about, Mike.
American
I'm sorry.
Idol Kimberly Caldwell said to us, I'm very offended by this. She was open about how it offended her. Still scored us higher than Sal. I don't understand.
Wow. Mm. Can I also point out that there was another car that had two girls making out to it? Two Doors Down.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. You did
with
the right
with a stripper
then,
pole.
So. You didn't
and
tell us
the
that.
Whole nine.
Yeah, but would they ever cheat bootleg?
She wasn't
offended
by that, right? No.
They were making out, and then when they got time for them to race, they switched to a guy stripper.
And I scored them low for that.
All right.
All right, I think Sal did the right thing.
I think so, too. You know, now that we've heard both sides of the argument, Mike, I think you're wrong. I think Sal absolutely did the right thing.
Let's bring in Anel real quick, because Anel was our Michael Jackson.
Our inappropriate Michael Jackson, apparently.
Hey, inappropriate Michael Jackson.
Man.
What?
You company man.
Uh-oh. Yep. You got problems with your...
Hey, we both got dreads. We both hang with white people. You company man.
But Anel, were you not doing any of Michael Jackson's dance moves?
I am a 275-pound black man in an undersized Michael Jackson suit in 100-degree weather.
That it sounds
you
like
lucky
this.
I wasn't unconscious.
It is company
man.
Is that the worst thing you could say to a black guy?
How high was that knee kick you did? Like 3 inches.
Look, man, if I'd have kicked it any high, I would have torn something, and y'all would have had to help me off the stage.
You would have got higher marks for that.
Company man.
So apparently, we picked the wrong guy to play Michael Jackson. It sounds like you weren't not up for the
test. Oh, it was all Anel then. That's
pick up.
It all falls on Anel.
Does it all fall on Anel?
Yeah, it really does. Fault.
Sorry, dude.
I tell you what. Next time you guys pick one of your thousands of other black listeners.
Well, we're limited.
All right, we got to go, Anel. You're the best.
Peace, black man.
That's funny. That by the way, that video is still up at KevinDean.com. You have to see the presentation. You have to see the race. That was a great turnout this year, and that was a very cool race.
It was incredible, man. I had no idea it was going to be that way. 100,000 people and Estrada. Eric Estrada, by the way, is like Obama of Los Angeles. Like that dude.
People just love
him. It was like people, Estrada, Obama. It was the same tone and cadence.
Did he shout, si se puede?
He did.
He did. All right.
Millions of times.
Excellent.
Isn't it so funny, though, that there are some stars from those TV shows of the 60s and 70s and even the 80s who are jokes now? You see them on the street and you turn the other way,
course.
Or you feel bad for them.
Not
Estrada. They're like Eric Estrada. There's some like Eric Estrada. Henry Winkler is another one. There are a few others that are still as cool today as they were the day their show left the air, which is remarkable that they have the staying power they do.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But I remember, like, I had to be good to watch Chips at Friday night at 8 o'clock. Like, my week had to be good.
That was your payoff?
That was my payoff.
Well,
and I asked myself the other day, I was like, is it that Chips was really good?
No.
Or did we just not have many options?
If you watch it now, it doesn't really hold up all that well.
But at the time, it was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And he's still cool.
He's still cool. Right. He had, like, a new kid, like a 10-year-old kid.
Really?
He's like 60-something years old, and he was very, very friendly with the ladies.
All right, Sal, we need to take a break, but you're going to run in the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
You're running a marathon.
I am.
You're running 26.2 miles.
Six days.
I hope Mike is there to judge it.
In 6 days. 6 days from now. Before we take a break, for people who can't stick around, give the website if they want to sponsor you for your charity.
RunSalRun.com.
There you go.
RunSalRun.com to support my mentoring foundation for at-risk youth and inner-city kids, Stoked Mentoring, which is stoked.org. But you can learn about all of it at RunSalRun.com.
Run, Sal, run! We'll take a quick break and come.
We got an update from TMZ.com in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show for a Monday. Our friend Sal Masekela is in studio now. He is leaving shortly for New York City. I guess the 2009 New York Marathon is next Sunday. That's the most prestigious of the marathons in the United States, right, Sal?
That's the big one.
No,
that's what they tell
Boston.
Me.
Boston.
Is
you think
Boston
so?
Bigger?
Think
Boston,
yeah,
bigger?
Boston gotta, will tell you that.
You got to qualify for Boston.
Yeah. Mm.
Right.
And for New York, you just have to, like, have a cause.
But which one are you in?
New York.
Okay, that's the hardest one then, Lisa.
Thank you.
I didn't say hardest. I said most prestigious.
Oh, prestigious.
I
mean, yeah.
All right.
Now, you are or are not Kenyan?
I'm South African.
Okay, so you're not going to win then.
So I'm definitely not going to win.
Definitely not going to win. All right.
We are slow and short.
I know you, you're doing this because you want to raise money for your charity, as you describe, your mentoring charity. But tell me what the Diddy connection is, because that's kind of what started my awareness anyway of this run.
Well, that's exactly why I did that, because I'm not famous, and Diddy is, and I figured, how can I get people excited that I'm running? And I remember that he had done it in 2003, and so I hit him up on Twitter. I said, hey, Diddy, I'm running the New York City Marathon. I'm training 8 weeks out, just like you did. If I beat your time, would you make a donation to my foundation?
Oh, that's cool.
Stoked. And surprisingly, Well, the really cool thing was that everyone started retweeting it, so to speak.
So it had a life of its own?
It had a life of its own. Like, Sal is challenging Diddy. Diddy, what are you going to do? And I was like, what have I done? This is crazy. And then by the end of the day, he hit me back, and he's like, you beat my time. I've got your back.
What was his time?
4 hours, 14 minutes.
No way.
And some change.
That was his
you
time?
Think you can do
yeah.
it?
4 hours and 14 minutes?
Yeah.
Isn't
yeah.
that really fast?
It's for a first time.
Yeah,
it's,
for a first time.
It's really good. Yeah.
What do you think? Do you have any idea what pace you're on?
Because
you
haven't... I'm on a 405 pace.
You are?
I'm
wow.
on a 405 pace.
Wow.
But that, again, that is pace. That's the pace I'm on.
Right.
Right.
But Sal,
for the first half mile.
Most amateurs, most non-runners who get a hair up their butt and decide they want to run a marathon, I thought, and maybe, Kevin, this is what you were thinking too, they're like six-hour guys, you know, or something like that. I mean, something like that would be a – the fact that you finish it is respectable. If you're getting close to 4 hours, that seems unreal.
Undoable,
yeah.
yeah.
Unreal. Totally.
Unreal, yeah.
It seems that way. I know.
You see people like finishing 24 hours later, and everybody's already packed up and gone home, and they're like, oh, I have to finish it. That's my goal, if I could just finish it.
Well, I guess for me, as you know, as a longtime surfer and snowboarder and somewhat athletic person, I figured that that gave me a little bit of a head start in the training. Then I just got out there and started running and put the miles on. I did 18 miles on
Sunday.
And
it sucks, right? It never, ever gets easier, right?
It doesn't get easier, but believe it or not, it gets addictive.
It does. That's what people say is the high that you get from it is... That, hard to
and,
replace.
Yeah, and you all of a sudden your physicality changes. I've lost a lot of weight. I feel a lot better. My energy's up there. Mm-hmm. And if I don't run for a couple of days, I get irritable, which I never thought it.
Is that
before.
Right? So it's kind of an outlet for whatever aggression or whatever
something
stress.
We're talking
or,
about famous people huh. every day, all day. It's yeah. an outlet now.
Well, yeah. That's true. Now. I am sort of on a marathon training plan. I'm not doing any of the running, but I'm doing all the carbo loaded. So I am going to be set. Whenever I do finally run, I'm going to have plenty of energy to burn.
That's funny. Yeah, I can eat whatever I want right now. It's crazy. But you have to eat healthy. Like
you got to give yourself good fuel.
Got to give yourself yeah. good fuel. There's your body doesn't do anything with fats and what have you. It's all about. You know, your liver and everything being loaded with carbohydrates so that you have the energy to do it. And this the science of it.
Is alcohol acceptable?
Alcohol, they ask you not to drink a week out.
A week out?
Yeah.
That's BS.
Yeah, you should not. It does nothing for your muscles.
In the course of your training over the last few weeks, have you had any occasions where you've hit that wall that we hear so much about?
Yeah, I hit the wall on a 12-mile run about a month ago where 1 minute I felt like Leo DiCaprio on the Titanic in the front of the boat. I'm the king of the world! And literally 15 minutes later, my knees were wobbling.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you think, what is going on to me right
and
now?
And I had gotten in this high, and you get in this high, and you forget to do the little things, like to breathe and take water and
wow.
eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't give yourself nutrients and if you don't hydrate, your body shuts down really, really, really quick.
When you say eat, you pull over to a McDonald's?
No.
No.
I have this stuff called goo.
Me too.
I
don't think we need you.
We don't need
seriously.
You.
We do not need you.
You have these little packets of nutrient that you just bite the top off and squeeze out this weird liquidy substance.
And it's called goo?
It's called goo, G-U.
Okay,
Lisa,
good.
Would you like some goo?
I've had some goo, thank you.
Hey now! But yeah, you know what? Honestly, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, when I do hit those walls, or there's a million reasons when you're running to stop, I think about what I'm running for, and it makes it very easy.
Tell us about starting the charity.
I started this foundation called Stoked Mentoring about 5 years ago. As you guys know, skateboarding and snowboarding and surfing and the action sports lifestyle has changed my life and given me the career that I have today.
It's exploded in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it really has.
Yeah.
And there's something about that lifestyle, the falling down and getting back up and really having to stick to something to achieve goals that I think transfers down to life. And so a friend of mine from New York, a guy named Steve LaRosier, he actually approached me and said, this lifestyle's given you so much. What are you going to do to give back? And we got together and started talking about Stoked and helping inner-city kids, at-risk kids, sort of step outside of their box and experience life through activities like this that they've never done before.
Right.
And it's been amazing. We've been doing it for about 4 or 5 years. All the kids that have gone through our program the whole 4 years have all gone on to college.
No kidding.
Wow. And these are kids who, you know, they, let's face it, like their thing when they walk to school and walk back is like, I hope I don't get shot or get hassled to join a gang and, you know, and things like that, and broken homes. And they learn a new environment. They learn social skills. They learn all sorts of different things to equip them to make good long-term decisions in life from this lifestyle. And we partner them with an adult mentor, mm-hmm. and they learn the sports together.
Do you introduce them to goo? Because that might be bad.
I think we might lose our 501c3.
All right. I'm just,
if,
just had to ask.
If we introduced them.
Look at the trouble Michael Jackson got in.
Exactly. You know? A little
you
weird.
You can find out more about the charity or the race this Sunday in New York City, the 2009 New York Marathon, at Sal's website. It is runsalrun.com. Last question before you go, Sal, and that is, after the marathon, are you likely to stay a runner, or will you feel like mission accomplished and now, thank God, you don't have to run anymore?
I don't know, man. I'm really afraid of what that feeling's going to be like at the end of the 26.2. I know that I ain't going to do a damn thing for a couple of weeks. And when I can feel my body again,
four or five days later, though, you're going to be going, wow, I missed something.
But you know what? I think so. I think next will be like a triathlon or something. I could see myself running for a while. For
I'm sure. doing Iron wow. Man. I know that. I do that because that's
fun. You do
fun.
That?
Oh, yeah.
You
really?
No, 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 no. You rented Iron Man. That's different.
Right. Right. I watched the movie. Right. Exactly.
RunSalRun.com is the website. Sal, great
you guys,
to see you, man.
Thank you
Good
so
luck on
much.
Sunday.
Of all my visits, this one means the absolute most to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. No worries.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
You're going to tell your mom about me?
Mm-hmm.
I told my dad about you.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
How do they consistently deliver?
This guy, and we don't have time for it here because our friend Mike Walters from TMZ.com is on the phone, but this guy, Justin Bobby, Audrina's ex, who now, by the way, it looks like she's going back to because she's putting a relationship with Derek on hold. You don't need to know all that.
No.
He is... You've seen him, Lisa, this Justin Bobby. He's a Neanderthal. He's a cretin.
Yes.
He's just a big, dumb, hairy guy who that conversation you just heard, that's about the extent of what this dude's got to offer.
And he thinks he's so cool.
Yeah.
He's just a huge ass.
Look how hard I work, yet he somehow is nailing Audrina. What's up with that?
I don't get that.
I don't get the girls that go for the guys like that.
No,
but anyway.
Self-esteem, man. That's the problem.
Yeah.
New episode, believe it or not, of The Hills tomorrow night. And despite how many times I've been destroyed by that show, how many times at the end of the half hour I've said, I'll never do it again, you know I'm on board for
yeah,
tomorrow.
And that's shocking to me.
I know. I am not proud, and I cannot explain it. All right, let's talk all things TMZ.com. Our friend Harvey Levin is on vacation. Mike Walters filling in from the TMZ.com newsroom on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, how are you, man?
Good. Well, I'm a little upset. You guys, watch it with the big, dumb, hairy comments. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I'm married to a hot blonde, and I'm big, dumb, and hairy, too.
So. All right.
Well, I didn't mean to hit so close to home, my friend. So, Mike, it seems like months ago, but it was only last week, I guess, that we found out that Balloon Boy was, in fact, a hoax. I guess the mom ended up confessing pretty early on in the investigation, right?
Well, yeah, you know what? I guess she's a psychic, so she should have known this was going to happen the whole time, apparently.
That family never ceases to amaze. She's a psychic as well?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's what they're saying. But yeah, this lady basically admitted it. She's like, you know what? My husband's crazy, and he told me to do it. He even told the kids, don't say anything about what we're actually doing. And then, of course, the kid gives it up. And right. on Larry King, and then pukes on the Today Show, which was the best part of the last
That really was great. That was really good.
So here's the reason I was excited to talk to you today, because there are a wide range of possible charges for something like this. I've heard everything from slap on the wrist to you're going to jail and paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost fees, you know, from the Sheriff's Department. What's likely to happen, in your opinion?
Well, you know what? The worst thing here, and if you think about it, the contributing to the delinquency of a minor is probably the worst thing here, because they told their kid, and the kid was like 6 years old, to go sit in a box for 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, in the attic. And then, you know, the kid obviously, damaging a little bit there, at that age. And, you know, that right there is gonna, you know, when you go into court and you're in front of a jury, you can make a false police report, you can lie to the media, you can do whatever you want. You put one of your kids in harm's way, they are gonna go after you and they will not stop.
Yeah, you know, but I think a good attorney could argue that a kid is not exactly in harm's way in his own home in a box.
Yeah, but it's
in a box.
It's Balloon Boy, so I bet you there's going to be a lawyer that does it for free just to say, you know what, I defended Balloon Boy's parents.
Yeah,
but probably. the kid throwing up on those shows may show that he was actually really disturbed in some ways.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah,
no, I think that's exactly the point. And when you do something to your kid at that young of an age, that's exactly what happened.
My favorite thing was the kid was throwing up, and the dad just kept going.
Yeah.
Nothing happened here.
He wouldn't even pause to go, are you okay? The kid's throwing up on TV.
Let me, and you know, Kevin, as a parent, I mean, if your kid's throwing up, you're really concerned about that. I mean, that's your priority, is to take care of it. All right, let me ask you one more thing about Balloon Boy, Mike, and that is, I think what would satisfy, I don't think most people want this guy, this idiot, to go to jail, but I think most people, almost everybody, would like to see the state and the federal government reimbursed for their time and energy. The hundreds of thousands of dollars that it costs to, you know, put jets in the air and alert the National Guard and all that stuff. Is there any chance that they'll have to pay some of that back?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the main things they're going to go after. But here's the thing, ready? They did it to get a reality show. Mm-hmm. If they don't get the reality show, they don't get the money. They can't pay it back. If they do get the reality show, everything happens we don't want to happen from the whole thing, the hoax. And then, you know, the reality is in the situation, look, this guy, okay, well, here's my favorite part. Right now we are over there at their house. They're having a rally in support of them. And I think, okay, there's a rally. We should go over there. But the rally is organized by him. Richard is having his own rally in front of his own house. And we're there live. I mean, we might even live stream it. It's so classic.
But wait a minute.
He's trying to raise his own money for his own defense.
He's trying to have people stop by and donate?
This guy is having his own rally in support of himself for his own show.
I got to tell you. There's nothing not to love about this guy.
He needs a show on K-Rock.
He's the best.
Did he ever answer questions? Remember when he called that press conference last week at like 7 o'clock and then all the reporters showed up and he came out and said, all right, put your questions on a piece of paper in a box. And then he took the box inside. Did he ever come back out and answer any of those questions?
I don't think so. I think he just took it inside and he just likes boxes apparently.
Yeah.
It's something to do with the box.
All right, let's change gears. This is Mike Walters on the line from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Check your local listings for showtimes. What's going on with Shauna Sand and the most obviously not stolen home sex video of all time?
Well, here's the really confusing part about the sex tape. Okay, everybody says, oh, it's with Frenchie. And I'm like, oh, the guy she was married to? No, it's the other Frenchie, the guy that she's now dating. It's like, okay, wait a minute. So this was stolen from her house? Well, how? She doesn't really – she lives in Miami. She lives here. I don't know. I'm getting confused. All I do know is that Shauna Sand belongs there. She looks fine. She looks great in the tape. She apparently did not sign off on it, or at least she says she didn't, and she's fighting it. But then she goes over to Vivid the other day to meet with the head of Vivid, Stephen Hirsch, and says, okay, I don't really care if you put it out. Just give me 10%. And they're like, okay, here. Sign right here on the contract. But then apparently they had a contract already. I don't know. It's confusing. If you want to do a porno, just do a porno.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're confusing
absolutely.
All of us. You're confusing all of us.
Because we've, you know, many of us have taken the time and have been serious about enough about our jobs to do the research to look at the trailer for the Shauna Sand tape. And it clearly, I mean, it's professionally lighted and shot. I mean, there's no way.
My favorite part of the trailer is when it stops and it's like a high-def photo in black and white.
Yeah.
When did the HD camera guy with the black and white film come into the room?
Yeah. I mean, I expected it was going to look like Paranormal Activity or something like that, but it was a total, like, blockbuster movie. It was hilarious. So first she said it was stolen. Then she said Vivid had no right to put it out because she didn't approve it. And then she went over to Vivid and said, go ahead and put it out. Just give me a cut.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was privy to a look at the entire thing, and I'll tell you what, she has like 19 costume changes. I go, you know what,
wow.
I don't care how many nights you shoot yourself, if you're having sex with your wife or girlfriend, you don't make 19 costume changes. Like, it's just, that's the part that confused me.
So she made it and clearly wanted it to get out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know what, we all got to do a little research last week on it at our job, so I'm not mad.
Now, let me ask you one other sex tape question, because I haven't seen this anywhere else but the National Enquirer, but the David Letterman security camera sex tape. Does it exist of him having sex with the assistant?
Apparently, there's a lot of security cameras in that building, and obviously David Letterman did some inappropriate things throughout the office throughout the years. I'm guessing there's probably something somewhere on tape. I don't think that David Letterman's, you know, doing the nasty in his office with 10 cameras on him. I don't think, you know how the National Choir is. I'm sure it's a little bit exaggerated.
Right.
I think there probably is some tape of him at least being inappropriate. I mean, we got photos, remember, of one of the interns in his, like, shower. I mean, she had clothes on, but, like, he let the girls run amok in his office and, like, sit on his desk and stuff.
So, what was she doing with clothes on in the shower?
Oh, she, well, no, we got these photos of this lady, like, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, okay.
And she's, like, in the shower with her clothes on. It's like Dave's private office.
All right.
That's
awesome. And
she's,
you know, laying on the couch. It's like what people do to Bean's desk and, sure. Kevin, you know, when he's not around.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, I know that that's a sex tape I don't want to see, David Letterman. I can tell you
how
that.
How could
much,
you not want to watch that?
I
just
don't,
for three,
I don't
two,
want,
three
I don't.
Seconds.
Oh, I don't.
Just a couple of seconds. How would you not?
It's like,
you know,
I made
like,
the.
It's like Gene Simmons. Remember Gene Simmons?
Yes. That's exactly what I was thinking of. I made the mistake of looking at that, and I'll never get that image out of my mind. So, no, please. All right. Mike Walters, TMZ.com. Check your local listings for TMZ Television 2. You are awesome, dude. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. See ya.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman is here with another look at the show, Biz B. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, people always ask me on Monday morning, what were the top 10 movies that made all the money at the box office this weekend?
I've never heard anyone ask that.
All the time.
For the record.
Business line was ringing off the hook this morning. People ask me, what were the top 10 movies at the box office? So as a courtesy, I like to give them out every Monday morning. Paranormal Activity was number one this weekend, $22 million. Made it number one for people looking for a horror movie. Also, Saw 6 did very well for itself, came in at number two.
Saw that. I love the fact that they put people on a merry-go-round with a shotgun, and then it goes around, and then as soon, if he picks the wrong one, they shoot him in the chest with a shotgun.
Wow.
And then it just keeps spinning. Good times.
Wow, that's a bad game.
The merry-go-round of death. Good times.
So you saw Saw?
I saw Saw.
What did Jinx have to say?
Do you want to play a game?
I think my jigsaw is getting worse.
What did Cookie Monster have to say?
Same.
What did the Kebe Mutombo have to say?
What did Khloe Kardashian have to say?
Where the Wild Things Are was number three. Law Abiding Citizen came in at number four. Couples Retreat was fifth. Astro Boy was number six. The Stepfather, Vampire's Assistant, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and Zombieland rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Apparently, Charlize Theron will be gay for money.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
She was at a charity fundraiser last week in San Francisco, and she got a little cheesed off when it turned out that a walk-on hosted by Jeremy Piven for the Entourage show was getting the big bids. Her trip to South Africa to meet Nelson Mandela and see the World Cup,
dude,
had stalled.
Dude,
indeed. What more do you need?
That sounds awesome.
So Charlize said she would up the ante by kissing whoever the big bidder was that evening. And luckily for her and all attending, a woman won the top bid. $140,000 was the top bid.
All right.
Charlize announced as she made her way across the room, "My boyfriend isn't here tonight," and made out with the girl for about 20 seconds.
Kiss it.
She's all the money went to charity 1x1, or 1 times 1, or 1-1-1-1.
She's your girlfriend, why don't you know?
It's a charity dedicated to delivering food and water to children around the world. Whatever, let them get their own food and water. You have to deliver it to them? When I was a kid, and I was thirsty, I went over and got my own water. That's what I did. I went and got my own food. Yeah. No one had to bring me water and food when I was a kid.
I went
around and just got it myself.
Yeah.
Damn, kids are lazy these days with their tweets and their Xboxes. Get your own water and food.
Ralph, if you had the money,
yes,
how much would you pay for a 20-second lip lock with Charlize Theron?
All of the money.
All the money in the
all
world?
All of the money.
Okay.
I'd be busting out Krugerrands from my safety deposit box. Yeah, blood diamonds, whatever it took. Whatever I could accumulate in terms of wealth, I would be donating it to the charity.
Key to the house.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Damn.
Yeah.
I gave her a hearty check to her South African Children's Foundation once.
Apparently you parted with it too easily.
I got a hearty handshake.
Yeah.
And a thank you note.
Right.
That I still cherish to this day.
But
no making out.
Did you make out with her?
There was no making out. Of course, it wasn't 140 grand either, so.
Yeah.
What do I know? And the cracks are beginning to show.
Oh.
First high-profile Scientology member in the show business has officially left the church.
Is that right?
Crash writer and director Paul Haggis. He's a very talented writer and director. He's done a bunch of films, actually. Million Dollar Baby being one of them.
Yeah.
He has publicly announced that he is leaving Scientology for several reasons, one of which was Scientology's vocal
backing of California's Proposition 8 banning gay marriage. Now, Paul is not gay himself. However, he found their conduct to be unconscionable. He did not want to be a part of a group that was so bigoted, he said.
But weren't Catholics had the same position? Mormons had the same? I mean, there were a lot of religious groups that felt the same way, though, right?
Well, right, he doesn't belong to those religions. He belongs to this one. He said he would like an apology. He wrote Tommy Davis, who was the Scientology spokesperson, wrote several strongly worded letters saying, I don't want to be part of a group that would harbor this sort of hate speak.
Right.
And so I would like you to apologize publicly and denounce the actions, especially on one particular city where this was going on. And got no response. And he said, I cannot condone this behavior within the organization. I am ashamed to say that I waited this many months to act. I hereby resign my membership in the Church of Scientology.
How about that?
He also had some problems with their policy of cutting people off from their families if they don't stay in line
with
Scientology beliefs. Apparently his wife's parents were forced out of the church and were cut off, and she was not allowed to have any contact with them. And Paul said he can't get behind that either.
Yeah, that whole disconnect thing is scary and creepy, and more people need to stand up against that.
So he's done. He's done with the Scientologists.
I know that it's about you. You go into a desert and there's a ship somewhere, and then you sign a huge check, and if you don't, they'll kill you.
So I hope Paul's got somebody starting his car for him this morning. That's all I can say. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dylan McDermott from The Practice is 48 years old today. Cary Elwes, talented actor, is 47. Tom Cavanaugh, who starred on Ed, was also in a show that I liked a lot about the advertising world with Will and Grace star Eric McCormick.
Yeah, Eric.
They were in a show together for a short period of time.
That you can't remember the name of?
I cannot remember the name. I think it was Dark Blue. I think it was called.
Nope.
No?
No.
No, it wasn't Leverage. Leverage is good, but it's still on. That's with Timothy Hutton.
So you're trying
to... White Collar. That's a good new show on USA. I like a lot. It was not Carpoolers.
Men in Trees?
No, it was not Men in Trees.
Small Wonder.
No, Small Wonder was about a little
Big
robot
Brother?
Girl. This is not Big Brother. That's about people living in a house. These were two guys who worked in the advertising world.
Two guys,
and they were partners.
Cup.
But it was only on like five episodes.
I know,
but right?
I enjoyed each and every one of those episodes.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
I'm saying he was very talented and very good and very entertaining.
The Sopranos.
It was called The Sopranos. That's what it was called, yes. I can't believe no one in the office either is listening or can tell us.
Trust me.
Right. Trust me. Called, Trust me was the name of it.
Trust me. And then Eli Stone, apparently, he was a regular on as well.
Not what
and
I'm
Scrubs,
talking about.
He was a regular on, too.
Yeah, he played the brother of Zach Braff.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Zach Braff was his
name. You're trying to guess a show that's not on anymore.
But it was good.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Didn't say it was on. Did not say it was longer on television. Just said it was good. And Seth MacFarlane, he does a show. Wait a minute. It's about a guy who lives in Rhode Island. He's got a dog who talks to him. Come on. No. We know this one.
Is it still on?
I think it's still on.
Was it West Wing?
West Wing. No.
Darman Greg.
Is that the one
I got nothing.
You do voices for?
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost. Can't think of it. Lost.
No.
No.
Hmm.
Wait
CBS
minute.
Evening News with Katie Couric.
Hardcastle and McCormick.
That's it. The View.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and we're giving away tickets all this week to K-Rock's Creep Show with Dead by Sunrise. Featuring Chester from Linkin Park, of course, at Social Hollywood on Halloween night this Saturday night.
Woo!
And if you need a costume, go to the costume shop, which is formerly Glendale Costume.
Glendale.
Those people are awesome.
746 West Doran Street. They have 40,000 costumes, most of them sexy, so that's what you need. And more details are at krock.com. It is 9:15.
All right, you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show, new edition of the Internet Roundup in minutes. We didn't have much chance to talk about this on Friday, except briefly, but the awesome, awesome, awesome story last week about the pilots for Northwest who overshot the airport. They're supposed to be flying into Minnesota, into Minneapolis, and they overshot it by 150 miles. And an investigation is ongoing right now because, I don't know, it seems like the guys on the ground after more than an hour of not being able to reach you, they're entitled to some answers.
Wow. They were calling the military saying,
sure,
we've lost, you know, contact with a plane for an hour.
Yeah.
And the first people who were guessing were saying that they thought they fell asleep. Both pilots fell asleep, which sounds most likely.
Mm-hmm.
But the pilots apparently are claiming that they were arguing. I don't know how you ignore the FAA for an hour
Yeah, I don't either. An hour and 18 minutes or something like that. The guys on the ground are like, yeah, Northwest Flight 188, do you hear us? Hello, hello, come in.
144 passengers on board.
And wow. None of them knew anything about it until they landed. So we have been waiting anxiously to find out the results of the investigation because, look, this is the type of thing that the pilots can say whatever they want. But when the plane lands and they go in and look at the cockpit voice recorder, they're going to have evidence of what was really going on, right?
Whether it be snoring or yelling or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, exactly. So I think we have just, if I understand correctly, the audio has just been released to media. I think we have just now received it. We haven't even heard this yet, but maybe there's some answers here as to what was happening on the plane.
Ladies and gentlemen, just want to give you a heads up. We'll be touching down in Minneapolis in just a few minutes. So, as always, thank you for flying Northwest Airlines. Carl, load our approach vectors in.
You got it, Stan. You slut.
Excuse me?
You heard me. You think I wouldn't find out?
About?
About you and that new flight attendant?
Kyle? He's like 22. He's a kid.
A kid whose ass you can't keep your eyes off of.
Carl, please. You're being ridiculous.
No, no. You do not get to invalidate my feelings by denying them.
I'm doing no such thing. But you're accusing me of something that I didn't do just because you're feeling insecure because you turned 50.
Oh, you bitch.
I'm sorry, honey. That was out of line.
You know, that was a very difficult birthday for me.
Yes, yes, I know. But I still don't understand why. You're still the hottest thing in the skies.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
What about the sun?
You're still hotter.
Maybe 20 pounds ago.
Oh, you look great.
Thank you, and I'm sorry about the Kyle thing. I should have known better.
Yes, you should have.
Like, he'd even be interested in you.
Excuse me?
Well, you know, you're old. You're old enough to be his dad.
Well, that hasn't stopped him from checking me out.
Oh, really? And I bet you loved it, didn't you?
Carl.
You are such a whore.
Carl!
What?
Take a look at these indicators.
Oh, sh!
Wow.
Oh, well, that explains it. Now I see what was happening. Now
you're in crisis.
I buy it 100%. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey!
Went to the Rose Bowl last night, CU2, which was fantastic.
Oh, I bet.
They beat USC, right, I heard?
That was not, it wasn't a football game. It was a concert. And they broadcast it live on YouTube. And if you didn't see it, you could check it out on YouTube. I think later today they're going to have the whole thing up.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a really great show, except for too much new stuff. All right. It's the world famous K-Rock at 927.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman has a final look at the Showbiz Beat minutes away. Right now, though, how about another edition of Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup?
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
KevinandBean.com. There's a bunch of older stuff that's up there. We leave the links up for a long time, like the giant girl getting thrown off the mechanical bull, or the Esquire video of Kate Beckinsale, Sexiest Woman Alive. You have to watch a different rendition of My Humps. You must find that and watch it. We have the drunkest guy ever. There's no audio from this.
Oh, my God.
But if you haven't seen it yet, it is unbelievable. The guy is so drunk, and he's going into a liquor store to buy more beer.
Oh, I saw that guy.
And he can't stand up straight, and he falls against the candy, and he holds on, and he falls to the ground. But you watch his commitment to that 12-pack or whatever it is he has in his right. He will not let go of it.
No.
And he can't get off the ground. He's literally laying on his back.
He's like a turtle, you know, upside down. The funniest thing
so
I've ever
great.
Seen.
Now, I know that with every single video, it seems like, it doesn't matter what the video is, somebody is always in the room that says, I think it's fake.
Right.
And I know that there was a little bit of a debate because how could a guy this drunk even stand? But I've watched it a couple times, and I think that he is just, like you said, he's just so committed that he's going to figure out a way to get to the bottle.
Literally, you have to watch the whole thing. It takes 45 seconds for him, maybe a minute, to get off the ground. He can't even stand up.
No.
It's fantastic. I hope he went out in his car and drove. That would be great. There's a kid that tasers himself.
Oh, I love this kid so much.
Now, no, on purpose.
Oh, okay.
It's, I don't know that I buy it, but I hope it's real. Because if he did this, he's a dumbass of the first degree. He tasers himself and falls right back into a chair out cold.
He's so happy. It looks like he has just taken his taser out of the box, and he's, you know, squeezing on the trigger, and you see the sparks flying and everything like that, and he's just giddy. He's, I mean, he looks like he's, what, around 14 years old or something like that, right? And then what the impression I got is that he is trying to just barely touch the taser to his skin. He just wants to get just a tiny bit of the charge just to see what it feels like, and it just knocks him out cold, and it's just instant. I mean, he just falls immediately. I love it.
I hope it's real, and I hope he was dead. Thin the herd, you know?
Well, I don't want that. I don't know. I don't think he needs to die.
The guy tasered himself. Yeah, what's he going to do with his life?
Come on. Tell me you wouldn't be tempted to try it.
I totally would, yeah.
Okay.
There's another one of a deer crashing through a restaurant window. They have the security camera footage, and there's a waitress, and she's like picking up dishes and stuff. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a deer breaks through a window, runs right through the restaurant and out the front door.
Wow. It's unbelievable.
It's really unbelievable.
The deer had to have been going at top speed to go through the glass, through the blinds, and then going in and out in less than 10 seconds.
Oh, it's great. Deers take revenge. We have an old commercial of Seth Green, who has super emo hair, and he's advertising Nerf. I don't know if I've never seen this before. But Seth is one of the friends of the show, and it is unbelievable. He looks super young. He's got the really bad emo hair.
Well, I mean, I don't know how old he is in this spot, but it was from 1992. So, I mean, that's what? That's 19 years ago or something like that. So he was pretty little.
You gotta love it. Like we love mines?
Definitely.
Nah!
The Nerf slingshot.
Yes. Like we love mimes? Not.
It's amazing they ever gave him Buffy after that.
I don't know if you've heard Andy Samberg, I'm on a Boat from Saturday Night Live. Uh-uh. It's a very, very funny song where he's just literally does a whole rap song about just being on a boat. And T-Pain is on it, and he sings and all this stuff like that. Well, I'm in a Box is the parody of that about the little kid, Falcon, little balloon boy.
Right.
Yeah, this is that
song. I'm in a box, and it's really dark, and y'all think I'm in the sky because my name is Falcon. But I'm the best kept secret like Anne Frank's diary. It's so quiet, like an old nun's priory.
Shut the up, I'm napping hard here.
I'm in a box, mommy, daddy.
That's pretty funny. They used the auto-tune, the whole thing, to make it sound like it.
That's great.
And finally, I've been here too many times to count, but MSNBC has a an interviewer named Katessa Brewer, and she has on Jesse Jackson. And she doesn't call him Jesse Jackson as much as she does the Reverend Al Sharpton. And those aren't the same people, although a lot of the same hot air comes out of both mouths.
Right.
And you have to think, when you hear this tape, you have to think what's going on in her head is, oh my God, I'm the latest white person who can't tell black people apart. Why did this have to happen to me?
And you can also tell that Jesse Jackson is super annoyed and doesn't know whether to just go on or correct her or what, but he finally ends up correcting her.
Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes to income inequality, all's well. The rising tide floats all boats.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Right. I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm looking at your face. I know who you are, Reverend Jackson. We all do. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Womp, 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 womp. That's got
to
sting.
How awesome is that? Go to kevinandme.com, the Internet Roundup. We should get someone from that band in.
Nope.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9:42.
It is Monday on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph Garman is here.
The world's most famous fairy is back.
And it's time for the showbiz beat.
Oh. Woo! He just gets better and better. He just gets more and more clever.
I don't think that was supposed to be about you, Ralph.
We had the blood drive last week.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to thank everyone who did come out to the Universal Studios Los Angeles to donate some blood. It was really a very cool event, and a lot of people went out of their way to try to save a life, and you don't see that very often.
That's true.
So it was a nice event, and I got a quick email here from Jay Gettner, who I was lucky enough to be sitting next to during the process.
Lucky enough, meaning?
Because they put you in these chairs, you know,
right,
and they just suck the blood right out of you.
Right.
Oh! And so we were hanging out. Ralph, it was nice meeting you at the blood drive this past Friday. I was sitting beside you when we were donating, and I mentioned how my kids, Dylan and Max,
think the Kevin and Bean show is hilarious. Back to the blood drive. I give blood as often as I can because I'm B positive, which is a sort of rare blood type. I didn't know anything about this. So I think it's important to do what you can. I want to encourage everyone to give as often as possible. I know I do. The best thing I like about the blood-giving process are the chairs they use because they recline and rock you into place. It's very comfortable. Oh. As I was preparing to donate on Friday, actually, the phlebotomist asked me, would you like your chair reclined back? And, of course, I said, yes, rock me, I'm a B+. Plus.
Rock me, I'm a B+. No!
B positive is his blood type. Rock
no!
me, I'm a B+. Plus.
No! No!
I'm a B+, plus, I'm a B+. Plus. I'm a B+, plus, I'm a B+, plus, I'm a B+. Plus. I'm a B+, plus, I'm a B+, plus, I'm a B+. Plus. Oh, 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 I'm a B+. Plus.
Rock me, I'm a B+. Plus.
I'm a B+. Plus.
You're the man, Ralph.
That was for Jay.
Wow.
Because he was there and he was giving.
No! No!
So I thought I'd do that for Jay as a thank you for giving us some blood. Appreciate that.
You lie!
Michael Lohan's back in the news.
Yeah.
Moving on now. In Touch Weekly had an interview with him, and he wrote a public letter to publish to his daughter, Lindsay.
Oh, God. Does he not have her phone number or email address?
Well, she won't answer his phone calls.
You know why?
She won't respond to his messages, and she's getting a restraining order against him, and he just won't give up the ghost regarding this topic. If you read the article published in InTouch, he says, I've held your vacant body in my arms.
Ew.
Ew.
In my mind, begging you to let me help you and rebuild your life. He sent his blessings and promised to pray for her recovery in the letter. And hopes she can kick prescription medication. That's what he assumes she's hooked on sometime soon. So it continues. The party continues with the Lohan family. Speaking of partying and family, Mary Forsberg Weiland, Scott Weiland's wife, has written a tell-all memoir about their days chasing the dragon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Fall to Pieces, a memoir of drugs, rock and roll, and mental illness.
Are they still together?
I don't think so.
All right. So he's probably not into this book.
Probably not.
So much.
Mary talks about lighting, such lovely stories as lighting all of Scott's belongings on fire back in 2007. She said it resulted in about $80,000 worth of his clothing going up in smoke. The hardest thing to burn was his Gucci shoes, she claims.
I applaud her commitment, though.
Gucci's are good shoes, just goes to tell you, fellas.
I don't have $8,000 worth of clothing.
$80,000.
$80,000.
I have had the biggest crush on Mary, by the way, for years and years and years. She is so beautiful and so nice. I didn't, of course, spend much time with her when she was on the horse, but, I mean, the times we've seen her, she's been a delight.
Well, maybe you should read this book, then. Sounds like you'd be interested in her, with your crush and all.
Yeah, I do love her.
It is Monday, so we take a look at the weekend's hot movies. Paranormal Activity made $22 million, made it number one this weekend. Saw 6 was number two at the box office, $14.8 million made it. So, Where the Wild Things Are was third, Law Abiding Citizen was fourth, Couples Retreat came in at number five. Then Astro Boy, The Stepfather, The Vampire's Assistant, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and Zombieland, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend.
Kevin, has Saw have any life left in it? I mean, do you think
I thought it was good.
Running on empty, or is it still okay?
I thought it was good. But I'm pretty easy on movies. But I thought it was good.
Justin Timberlake has a stalker. Her name is Bean Baxter.
Really?
What?
Odd.
No, she's a 48-year-old woman named Karen McNeil. Apparently, Thursday, she made it past the gates of his private home, but was turned away by security guards. Friday, a judge granted Justin temporary restraining order to keep Karen away from his property. She has tried to get into his house twice before. She is nothing if not persistent.
Yeah.
That's what you want in a stalker. You don't want them to give up too easily because then they don't really love you.
I would think you do.
No,
want
you
them
don't.
To give up. No?
That's not real love. Oh, try it once, get turned away. Forget it. I'm going to stalk Aaron Carter. No. You got to stay with it. You got to stay committed. Right, Bean? You know.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
You made that actress move, remember?
Remember you made her move?
No, I sure
left
didn't.
Left the candy bar.
Leaving candy bars
her
at her front?
Not at all.
Front sure door? Did.
Left the nutty buddy on her doorstep.
You left one.
We did leave one, but then when we asked her about it, we asked her about it, she said, no, it didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, did we leave
yes,
one?
Yes, we did.
Oh, did we?
Oh, my. Oh, how about the twist on that?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
We left one.
You lie.
We left one, he said.
What are your crimes?
And Disney is giving you a rare opportunity to get your money back if you're not satisfied with one of their products.
The world's most famous fairy is back.
Here's the thing. These baby Einstein videos promise to make your kid like some sort of genius.
Right.
Before they're two.
Right.
They don't always work, apparently. Some kids are just too stupid to learn. That's what I think. Here's the thing. They've been going, they've been released since 2004, I guess. Early 2004 is when the baby Einstein products first became purchased by hopeful parents, thinking their kids would turn into geniuses. Several parents, however, are not satisfied. In fact, more than several. In fact, there's a class action lawsuit from parents who say they were conned into buying the baby Einstein products with promises that perhaps their babies would develop in ways that they did not.
But nobody can guarantee that the program's going to be effective for your individual kid.
Well, look, here's the thing. Disney says if you're not satisfied with how your kid responded to the baby Einstein videos, you can return them to a limit of up to 4 videos for and get a refund of $15.99 each.
$16 fair. Per.
Generous of them.
Wow.
So if your kid's an idiot and did not respond well to the baby Einstein, then you just have to let Disney know and say, my kid is too stupid to learn from your magical videos.
Every year when Ralph does the list of the dead celebrities with earning power, we're always shocked that Albert Einstein is on the list, and we wonder why. Well, baby Einstein is why. I guess this is the brand that makes all the money for them.
A study found that a third of American kids between the ages of 6 months and 2 years had watched a baby Einstein video at some point in their lives.
Wow.
One-third of all American children.
Well, it's clearly not huge. Sinking in.
They are moving these items. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
By the way, just to report on the other side of the coin, doctors recommend that kids under the age of 2 not get any television time whatsoever. So, you decide yourselves, folks.
Just jackass videos, that's all.
That's what you showed your kids when they were little? That explains so much. Daddy, light more fires. That's all they say around his house. Today's celebrity birthday is Dylan McDermott from The Practice and True Blood. He's now in True Blood.
Dark Blue.
He's Dark Blue.
Dark Blue. Not Blue Cross.
48 years old today.
Just Dark Blue.
Cary Elwes. He, of course, the Dread Pirate Roberts from The Princess Bride and other feature films. He is 47 years old today. Tom Cavanaugh from Ed and Trust Me is 41. John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite himself, is 32. And Seth Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy celebrates his 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the program. We have Katie Cassidy.
Oh! What? In studio?
Oh, from the best TV show ever, Melrose Place.
Yes, I love me some Melrose Place.
And me too.
And you know how much sweeter it's just gotten this week, Melrose Place, by the way, since some of the cast members will no longer be with the program.
Yes, it's true, yes.
So on.
Yeah, I am
guys, are we making our way through all of the hotties on the CW? Is that what's going on here? Because we've done the...
And your problem would be...
I'm just saying I'm just saying it's a nice trend, that's all, because we've had the two Beverly Hills 90210ers in recently, and now we're moving on to Melrose Place. Good times.
I want the two guys from Supernatural.
And and more tickets for Foo Fighters Storytellers tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Speaking of tickets, by the way, we just announced earlier this morning the K-Rock Creep Show is going to be at Social Hollywood this Saturday night with Chester Bennington's band Dead by Sunrise performing. This is going to be awesome, and we'll continue to have more tickets that you can give away with Kat Corbett up next. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music includes the Kings of Leon, also The Offspring, Phoenix, Nirvana, Amberlin, and more right after this on K-Rock.